15 is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Xantrex 3. Marriage matters because it's right, was the message from one of the speakers at a rally in support of traditional marriage today at the State House steps. Bruce Morton has the details.
For those who spoke, marriage comes in only one form, that being one man and one woman. The emotionally charged event, with about 1,000 people on hand, was a rally for State Representative Kevin Lundberg's proposal banning same-sex marriages in Colorado. A few of the placards hoisted by those in attendance opposed Lundberg's bill, but most were in support, including one that read, "God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." Bruce Morton, Denver.
Police in Westminster still on the lookout for a suspect in last night's three-car hit-and-run accident. Investigator Tim Reed says the driver of a silver Mazda tried to run head-on into a patrol car driving the opposite direction at 84th and Federal. The officer was able to get away but wasn't able to catch the fleeing Mazda. The same officer came upon a three-car accident involving the Mazda at 80th and Federal. The folks in the other cars had minor injuries and were taken to the hospital. The Mazda driver got away through a series of rides reportedly from friends in the area. The football scandal at the University of Colorado has expanded, with another woman coming forward with claims that players raped her. It's the sixth such allegation that has engulfed the campus. University President Betsy Hoffman told CBS's Early Show that she has hired an independent investigator.
As we want to understand whether this is a pervasive aspect of our athletic department and our football program, or whether these are some isolated incidents, most of which are still allegations. Nothing has been proved. Nothing has ever been prosecuted.
Hoffman said the scandal may be part of a much wider problem involving alcohol abuse and date rape.
But I think this is part of a large cultural problem that we are dealing with, not just the football programs, but across the country on all college campuses. Students believe that the way to have fun is to get drunk, so drunk that they can't necessarily remember what happened the next day.
Earlier this week, football coach Gary Barnett was placed on paid administrative leave as a result of some public comments he made after former kicker Katie Nida said she had been raped by a teammate. Hoffman said, quote, "Every university needs to make some changes." Meanwhile, Barnett was on television last night. He was on the cable show CNN's Larry King Live to tell his side of the story. He explained that he understood how his comments could get major criticism. Commenting on his statements about former CU place kicker Katie Nida, Barnett said, quote, "I think I said the wrong thing the wrong way and at the wrong time." Barnett had made comments about Nida after she came forward with those allegations that she'd been sexually harassed, groped, and even raped by a teammate at CU. Barnett says he probably shouldn't have answered the question of his opinion of Nida's ability on the team. The reasons why a plane was diverted to Maine following a security scare still not clear. The FBI is investigating the incident of a Royal Air Maroc flight traveling from New York to Casablanca and its unscheduled landing last night. Earlier reports said a passenger made a bomb threat, but an FBI spokeswoman now says that isn't true. The passenger, Zubair Gias, was questioned and has not been arrested. The FBI believes this may be a domestic issue. Gias reportedly disappeared last weekend in Chicago, and his wife reported him missing. News reports in Chicago say the plane made the emergency landing because Gias phoned his family and said he was being kidnapped. Chicago police, though, dispute that report. President Bush still considering whether to endorse a constitutional ban on same-sex marriages. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says the White House continues to analyze the issue very closely.
This president has always believed that marriage is a sacred institution between a man and a woman, and this president is strongly committed to protecting the sanctity of marriage. He has made it very clear that he will do what is legally necessary to protect the sanctity of marriage.
Earlier this week, Bush described himself as very troubled by events in San Francisco where scores of gays and lesbians are breaking a state law by getting married. Meanwhile, there's another court hearing today on whether or not the state of California should put a temporary stop to those same-sex marriages. Yesterday, San Francisco filed a lawsuit against California, saying its law prohibiting marriage to one man and one woman violates the state's constitution. With just 2 hours left in today's trading session, stocks were lower across the board. The Dow down 48 points, the Nasdaq down 12, the S&P 500 down 7. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both have away games today. Nuggets are in Orlando to play the Magic, while the Avs are in Dallas to play the Stars. What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3, rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3 at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. First, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with seven great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini Shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavi, and White House Black Market.
Lena will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton, near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Albertsons. And good news, southbound I-25 south of town down by the Monument area has been reopened, so looking good down there. Trying to get an accident out of the way, northbound I-25 at Bellevue, so watch for that. We had a pole in the road. This is going to be in the area of Colfax as you make your way onto I-25, so just watch for that particular object. Bring home the babysitter special every Friday from 4 to 7. Get a pound of chicken tenders, a pound of JoJo's potatoes, and four-count dinner rolls all for $6. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can listen to Jimmy Lakey in the mornings on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We got snow yesterday, but not as much as expected. That storm, which was expected to bring significant snow to the area, decreased in intensity. Now we have high pressure over the region, bringing us lots of sun, 42. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 23. Clouds and sun during the morning tomorrow, but then those clouds increase later in the day, 45. Sunday, mostly cloudy and 45. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny skies now, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We have a fabulous guest as well. Joining us later in the broadcast, Robert Rubin, former Treasury Secretary to Bill Clinton. He has a new book called In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. He's a man widely credited with straightening out the finances of the U.S. and giving us this magnificent surplus, which has been squandered in 2 seconds by the present regime. I'm very interested to talk to Robert Rubin, and that's later in the broadcast. Next week, just to give you an idea of what we have planned for you, Dr. Gene Bowles. I'm interested in him. He's lives in Boulder. He's a neurosurgeon. He is also now the owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater. He's going to be live with us in studio, I think. And the reason I'm very interested to talk to him is he was the neurosurgeon at Landstuhl Regional Medical Center when the war broke out, and I think for a time may have been the only neurosurgeon. And he worked on Jessica Lynch as well. He has a lot of stories to tell about what it was like watching these casualties come in and what he really saw up close and personal. I'm very interested to talk to him. On Wednesday, we'll be joined by Rocky Mountain News film critic Bob Dinnerstein. We'll be talking about Mel Gibson's controversial new film, The Passion of Christ. Plus, we're going to be giving tickets away to the only Academy Award-sanctioned Oscar party in Denver. I'm still trying to get to the Academy Awards. I may actually be able to go, but I also may not be able to go. I've covered them once before. We're trying to get me there. I have to go to Washington next week, Washington, D.C., on Thursday and Friday for a seminar, a radio an industry kind of conference that I do every year, and it alternates. One year it's in Washington, D.C., the next year it's going to be in, it's in Los Angeles, and I've been doing this for a long time, and we're going to be listening to Peter Jennings, who's going to be talking to us, and Mike Wallace, and Matt Drudge is going to be talking to us, and somebody from the White House is going to be talking to us. So I'll have a lot of tales to tell. That's later in the week. And T.R. Reid, thank you, T.R., Tom Reid, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post, will be filling in for me both days. So I'm very pleased about that. Just an idea of what's coming up. And I went last night to hear Art Garfunkel sing with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. And let me tell you, it was an absolutely magical evening. He is going to be singing again Saturday night at 7:30. It's so good. It's so good. I want to go back. And I'm going to try to go back again. And I rarely can sit through one thing, let alone seeing it all over again. He is absolutely marvelous. And when he was appearing with Paul Simon, a friend of mine went and had, like, these perfect seats, 10th row center or something, for which they were selling them. She paid something like over $300 for that one seat, which is wow. But you can go for considerably less money. I think the top is $60.50 at the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Tickets start at $15, and I think they give you a break if you're a student or you're a senior. And it was not sold out. Interestingly enough, it was not sold out last night. I don't know what the deal is for Saturday night, but if you can manage to get over there, absolutely do it. It is, you will have a sensational evening. The first half of the program was the symphony, and they were doing really wonderful stuff, Copeland, Aaron Copland, Prokofiev, stuff that you have heard in other places, like the Prokofiev they did, I think was the theme music for something called the Highway Patrol, like an old TV show years and years and years ago, the conductor said, and Rodeo, Aaron Copland is really classic, wonderful, just uplifting, just a great evening. And then the second half of the program, Art Garfunkel comes out, and he's got people who support him, his own musicians, and then in a lot of the numbers, the orchestra accompanies him. It is fabulous, and the orchestra, it just rises, it just does a fabulous job. So do it. If you can do it, I'm going to give you the number for tickets, 303-893-4100, 303-893-4100. And we have given away, we don't have any more to give away, but we had been giving away, I think we gave away for about 4 days, two pairs a day. So what, about eight pairs of tickets, 16 tickets altogether to Art Garfunkel. And I think I was under the erroneous, and I apologize, impression that he was just performing in concert. For some reason, it wasn't made clear to me that he was performing in concert with the CSO, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Get yourself over to Betcher Saturday night, 7:30. It was not simply wonderful. It was magical. And I don't know what the reviews are going to say. I don't know if I saw anything in the paper today. If somebody sees a review, let me know what the reviewers say. But my own thumbnail review, don't even go. And even though it's not with Paul Simon, it's just wonderful. He got a standing ovation several times, so it was that good. Okay, the New York Times, back to football. Leave it to the New York Times to call Gary Barnett breathtakingly dumb. Nobody else. Oh, we'll say it here on Enid Live. And Dick Kreck was talking about the radio shows that were talking about CU and Barnett, and he never mentioned AM 1150 KNRC. What's up with that, Dick? So here is what the New York Times is saying in today's, this is their lead editorial. More Than College Football is the title. Every few years, it begins, some outrageous news from the world of college sports reminds us of how badly the present system serves the players, the schools, and the communities that hope for something better from their academic neighbors. The latest horror story comes from Katie Hinida, formerly a place kicker for the University of Colorado. Miss Hinida told Sports Illustrated that she had been bullied and sexually harassed during her time on the Colorado team, and that she had been raped by one of her teammates. The response to her charges by Colorado football coach Gary Barnett was breathtakingly dumb. Asked if he understood why she left the team in 1999, the coach said, quote, "It was obvious Katie was not very good. She was awful. You know what guys do? They respect your ability. You could be 90 years old, but if you can go out and play, they'll respect you. Katie was not only a girl, she was terrible, okay? There's no other way to put it. Breathtakingly dumb, according to the New York Times. There were and are, the New York Times lead editorial continues, of course, plenty of other ways to say it. Mr. Barnett could have expressed dismay. He could have offered an apology. He could have started an inquiry. He will have plenty of time to consider all the decent things he might have said or done now that Elizabeth Hoffman, the university's president, has put him on paid leave pending an investigation. Suspending Mr. Barnett is only the first and most obvious item on Ms. Hoffman's to-do list. This cannot be treated as a simple public relations problem, a coach's gaffe. For starters, as promised, she has to clean up the university's mess of a football program. The independent committee she has established to investigate Mr. Barnett's comments have also been told to look at an alarmingly long list of other allegations about how the football program has been conducted on Boulder's campus in recent years. These allegations include more charges of rape and of recruiting parties featuring alcohol and sex, strippers, and escort services. At the end of the day, assuming the evidence is there, Ms. Hoffman should be ready to fire Coach Barnett and anyone else who's contributing to this destructive culture. Beyond rehabilitating the football program, however, lies a larger responsibility, redefining the relationship between the athletic department and the university. This is not just about the university's cleaning up the athletic department. It is also about the university's taking responsibility for the athletic department. How did the university allow this to happen? This question is the responsibility of President Hoffman and her trustees as much as it is Mr. Barnett's. If she faces this responsibility squarely and they sat on it for a few years, Ms. Hoffman may end up setting a fine example for universities elsewhere. What really makes the Colorado story so compelling, as most insiders know, is that it's not a singular case. Around the country, football and basketball franchises are too many big-time schools operate on a parallel track, far beyond the usual campus rules and academic requirements. This separate jock world has its own financial structure, which helps underwrite other sports. But it also creates a world in which athletes do not have to meet high academic standards, or even, if, in my view, academic standards at all, and are allowed too often to live by their own moral codes. Occasionally, the National Collegiate Athletic Association or the local authorities vow to clean up the athletic subculture. But just like the three-card Monty players who reappear on the sidewalks once the cops are gone, the boosters and recruiters and other abusers of the system show up in their limos and private planes and women and alcohol and whatever else it takes to get athletes to sign up. Clearly, it's time for the NCAA to come round again. It is also time for the people who run the universities to take charge. What do you think about the, what the New York Times has said? They said about Gary Barnett that what he said about Katie Gnida was breathtakingly dumb. 303-382-1150. Today's Denver Post comes out with an editorial calling for Dick Tharp to resign as well. And I agree with that. I think he's got to go. I think they've got to do more than just and the comments attributed to Elizabeth Hoffman that Gary Barnett could be reinstated if such and such and such and such emerge from the investigation. Please. This guy is not coming back, I don't think. If they bring him back, it's going to be a huge error. I don't know why she's saying this. Maybe she's saying it to soften the blow. But I don't see that he's going to come back. And I think he's just the tip of the iceberg. I think the problem is a lot bigger than that. And blockbuster news, it looks like there might be even a seventh person coming forward. For 18 months, Boulder police have been investigating whether a pair of CU football players were involved in an off-campus sexual assault of a female student, possibly the seventh such incident involving CU players or recruits since 1997. DNA evidence already has ruled out one of the athletes as an attacker. So you know what? Here's the deal. The floodgates are open, and I won't be surprised, let me put it this way, if more women come forward. Congress will observe from the sidelines for now. If the NCAA keeps its head in the sand on sexual harassment and questionable recruiting practices, Congress will be forced to take action According to Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell, in other words, clean up your house, you'll see a higher level of government cleaning it up for you, Campbell said, responding to the sexual assault scandal unfolding at CU. Campbell and other members of the Colorado delegation are not calling for congressional action yet. Campbell noted that lawmakers are reluctant to get involved in issues best handled by college authorities, by other authorities. Well, the college hasn't done so good a job so far. They've been forced to act. Here's the LA Times talking about University of Colorado, a study in sports scandal. But this isn't the only place where it's happening. Almost every day this month, the LA Times is saying has brought a new accusation against CU's Buffs, and Thursday was no different. Police said they are investigating whether a team member sexually assaulted a woman in 2002, the seventh such claim since 1997. Players have also been accused of offering alcohol and strippers to high school recruits. It goes on and on and on. The lack of imagination, the only thing apparently that works with recruiting high school students is strippers, sex parties, alcohol, and drugs. There's nothing else that you think will capture their imagination? 303-382-1150. Stephen, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Long time no talk. I want to throw out a couple of statements that seem to bear this. A similar pattern and get your take on it.
Okay.
Well, the first statement is, you know, Barnett, when he's confronted with the circumstance of the kicker and the potential alleged rape of this kicker, and he says, well, she was a girl and she wasn't that good anyway. And then the Bush administration, when confronted with the fact there's no weapons of mass destruction, they say, well, you know, Saddam Hussein was a really bad person and he needed to be taken out anyway.
So he wasn't a very good player either.
Yeah.
He couldn't kick, he couldn't even make the uprights.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me there's a real similar strain to this ideology, which is the end justifies the means, and it seems to be the predominant way of justifying anything that's done these days.
Well, I think that the New York Times nailed it exactly right in there, and nobody in Denver had the courage to say how breathtakingly dumb Barnett's remarks were about Katie Nida. I mean, this guy is personified. Everybody always says athletes and actors are stupid. Well, I mean, he's not a walking ambulatory example of a high IQ in action. What he said was dumb. And then when he leads off his press conference trying to excuse himself by making a non-apology apology, that to me was grounds to disappear this guy, vaporize him. I don't see how he can possibly come back and the athletic department could say that they've cleaned house with a straight face. So I think he's going to be history. And I think Tharp has got to be next. And so does the Denver Post.
Well, it just seems like a real consistent vein of thought with the Bush administration with the end justifies the means philosophy.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get rid of them, too.
Well, believe me. Trust me. I'm doing everything I can.
Oh, well, wait a minute. We have some poll numbers that are just incredible. He's dropping faster than Bob Dole without the Viagra. So we'll get into that, Stephen. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs love her.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hate her.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute, all from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rate. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility and other restrictions apply.
My neighbors stopped by my house this afternoon and asked if I had any basil.
Unbelievable. I've been trying to find a house and a mortgage,
and she thinks I can drop everything to concentrate on dried leaves.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage makes buying a home less stressful, and our family of companies can also handle your mortgage with a competitive rate and quick decision. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music filled before you. Don't miss Art Garfunkel's debut with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra at Betcher Concert Hall on February 19th and 21st. Hear old classics and Art Garfunkel's new music.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
People are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
I work in an office, and I listen to my favorite radio station every day.
I find out everything I need to know about what's going on.
I turn on my radio, I get all the information I need.
Whether it's Iraq or the stock market.
I listen in my car, I listen at work.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
It's what we're here for. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
When I tune in,
I'm really pleased.
Get better stock information than Martha Stewart got. CBS Market Watch, mornings and afternoons at 40 past the hour. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:26 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to be joined later in the broadcast in the 2 o'clock hour by former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin. He's the guy who kept he's considered the architect of the surplus and who did fabulous things in terms of the financial health of this country. He spent 26 years at Goldman Sachs. He was a co-senior partner. He then became director of the White House National Economic Council and then was U.S. Treasury Secretary. He is now a director of Citigroup. His new book is called In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. I want to hear his take on why the deficit is so horrendous. We're talking about CU. We are going to be talking about a lot of things today, and CU is just what we're starting out with. A couple of things. First of all, I listened to Mike Rosen for a couple of minutes this morning, and he said he had Coach Barnett on, and he's firmly in Coach Barnett's corner, and that he admitted, Mike Rosen admitted that the interview he had with Barnett was a puffball softball interview. You may want to comment about that. I just got this email from Jason, and Jason says, I believe Coach Barnett is being railroaded by the media. Now, remember, the New York Times lead editorial called Barnett's views and words breathtakingly dumb. I believe Barnett is being railroaded by the media, Jason emails. Media, the lack of evidence should be enough to keep people from jumping to conclusion and calling for his head. What is he guilty of? Secondly, all of these rape allegations are 3 to 4 years old. Because of the age of these cases, there is a good chance that the alleged players involved were not even recruited by Barnett and instead recruited by Rick Neuheisel. The lack of any allegations since 2001 shows me that Barnett is cleaning up the program and recruiting good people. I believe he has the program on the right track. Well, I think it's later than 2001. I think we have... Thank you for your time, and that's signed Jason. You may want to comment. And here is an editorial from today's Denver Post, and the headline is, CU should axe Tharp. University of Colorado president Betsy Hoffman should fire athletic director Dick Tharp. Six women say CU football players raped them in instances going back to 1997. Hoffman wasn't there for that whole period, having become CU president in 2000, but Tharp was. He became an interim athletic director in 1996 and was officially appointed in 1997, as early as 1998. Mary Keenan, now Boulder's lead prosecutor, says she warned Tharp about criminal problems with the football program. Tharp should have read the Riot Act to CU coaches and players. He should have made it clear in deed and word that neither the university nor he would tolerate criminals. Instead, he headed a department where sexual harassment and assault may have gone on for nearly a decade. It's possible he didn't know or chose not to know what was really happening, but in a well-run organization, such important information would have gone up the chain of command almost instantly. If it didn't, then Tharp's management was unacceptably weak. If it did, his inaction is intolerable. Tharp should have been the general leading the charge against crimes and sexism. Instead, he's become the invisible man. In recent weeks, as news of crime reports and public dismay has spread, The harsh spotlight is shown on Hoffman and CU Chancellor Richard Biney. Hoffman deserves credit for taking the heat. Her future at CU depends on whether she can resolve the crisis. And you know what? She should also have known. And that she didn't. If she's a good general, she should have known. Meanwhile, Tharp has slid from view, asked repeatedly about his role in handling the reported assaults. The best he can muster is a mantra of no comment. That's not leadership. That's just passing the buck. And see, you cannot tolerate that in a key leadership position. Not now, not in the future. Hoffman's gotten the message that the core issue is justice. CU must stop trying to protect its precious and privileged football program. It must have as its first priority ensuring that sex assault complaints get properly investigated and victims receive proper care. And it goes on and on and on. Now, I want to say something before I get on to the Los Angeles Times and what they had to say, because they picked out some real interesting items to string together. But there is a sixth woman who has emerged, and the report that I hear about the sixth, and it looks like also possibly a seventh, but the sixth woman that has emerged was drinking with these guys, and then she didn't really know what happened, but the next morning she found naked, and she finds a condom wrapper, and she's bleeding, and so she doesn't. Let me tell you, if you are that sixth allegation, there's a lot of Swiss cheese in that allegation. If you don't even know what happened because you were so blitzed, please, you got to take some responsibility here. Girls, you got to take some responsibilities. You're so blitzed, you don't even know if sex occurred or if it didn't occur, or who used that condom wrapper and why, yada, please. Now, here's what the Los Angeles Times is putting together. Here's what they say about the faculty in the school, CU. The CU's faculty includes two Nobel Prize winners. Possibly not in ethics, however. The psychology and molecular physics programs are considered among the nation's best. Unlike some big colleges, the campus is not dominated by football. They can't even sell out a CU football game because half the students are out mountain biking, said an alum and a managing editor of the Colorado Daily, a newspaper serving the student community. These are not the kind of people out waving a big styrofoam finger in the air. But Colorado is also the site of the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case and the rape scandal at the Air Force Academy. The Buffs, who won a national championship in 1990, have had trouble too. As far back as 1962, a coach was fired amid allegations, listen to this one, that recruits were paid to attend school. During the 1980s, players were accused of various crimes, including serial rape and drunken driving. More recent problems date to 1997 when a 17-year-old female high school student accused a player of rape after a recruiting party. 4 years later, three women alleged they were raped by football players and recruits at an alcohol-saturated party. Boulder County Prosecutor Mary Keenan, who found insufficient evidence to file sexual assault charges in the 2001 case, has said she believes the university entices recruits with sex and alcohol. At Broomfield, Colorado, a man who's operated an escort service for 15 years said he has sent strippers to recruiting parties for several colleges in the state. It's a tradition handed down from player to player to player, he told local reporters. When Barnett and University President Elizabeth Hoffman initially denied accusations, Governor Bill Owen stepped in vowing, quote, to take whatever steps necessary to protect the integrity of the university. Hoffman created a panel to investigate recruiting practices even then. It raised a furor when her appointed co-chair, Joyce Lawrence, said, the question that I have for the ladies in this is, why are they going to parties like this and drinking or taking drugs and putting themselves in a very threatening or serious position like this? So we know already where Joyce Lawrence stands, and I think she ought to recuse herself. So you have a scandal that has begun since even as far back as 1962 when a coach was fired amidst allegations that recruits were paid to attend school. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Patty, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Patty. Welcome.
Hi. I was just going to say that sixth victim, if she doesn't remember a thing at all, she was probably drugged.
Well, I don't know if she was loaded. I don't know if she was blitzed. I don't know what the story was there.
Right, but for a young girl not to remember anything at all.
Well, she didn't seem to remember a lot. She didn't exactly know what had happened. And so at least that's a reporting on it.
Yeah.
And so the reporting on it makes it sound like it's very sketchy. I think her coming forward is going to be more difficult for her than it is
but
for the university.
But I'm just saying, possibility they could have given her the date rape drug.
Well, I don't know. It's an interesting thesis. Thanks, Patty. 303-382-1150. Tom in Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid. I'd like to make a comment from the perspective of I'm a father of three daughters.
Yes.
And I believe that Dr. Dave Knighted showed remarkable restraint in not going up there and having a discussion with the good coach and punctuating it with a baseball bat.
And it also shoots a hole in the deniability part of that Barnett didn't know. He knew.
Absolutely. If he didn't know, he should have. That's his job.
If he didn't know, he's even more breathtakingly dumb than the New York Times alleges.
I agree with you. And I'd like to agree with the previous, your first caller, about the notion that might making right in this country has to go.
That,
I always consider myself a peace-loving person.
That who has to go? George Bush?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, just the notion that that might make right.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's led over into the military, and it's got to stop, or we're all going to suffer as a result.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Tony on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. First of all, I very much enjoy your show. I enjoy your personality, and I hope you stay in town. But I so much disagree with this whole CU attitude and Gary Barnett attitude. I think the problem is college football, or just, you know, big organized football is a lot of the problem. And they're making a scapegoat. They're singling out this man and others. And I don't, the charges aren't even there to, you know, substantiate all this. I mean, truly, do you think?
Well, I don't disagree with you that it's a bigger problem than CU. It's an NCAA problem. It's a whole corruption in a lot of universities, not simply at CU. But what kind of a leader doesn't try to root out the problem? And saying the dumb things that he did only dug him in deeper. He might have had a chance to survive if he hadn't been so dumb in what he had to say, which gave the impression that he was clueless.
I mean, I agree.
If you're the leader and this is going on in your department, you got to clean it up, or you're not doing a good job as a leader. And I think Tharp has got. I think Tharp has got to go. There's obviously a culture, but it's also a larger issue as well. It certainly is an issue at CU, though. Don't you agree?
Well, but has he had a chance to clean it up? Is what I'm saying. I mean, all these allegations.
Well, he's been there for a number of years. Why is he?
No. Okay. Wait. The ones that started before, they couldn't even bring the trial. I mean, as far as the actual criminal case, they didn't bring the trial. There's a reason for that, and we haven't even heard about that, right?
So you think that Barnett has been scapegoated here? You feel he's been unfairly singled out?
Well,
and you feel that he's done well as a leader? Is that what you're telling me, Tony?
No. What I'm saying is he is a football coach. He was hired to win football games.
Yeah, but he's a manager.
Okay, he is a manager. But, I mean, how many parents don't even know what their kids are up to? And he's got, what, 100-plus guys?
He's got but he's got a lot of people he's got to respond to. He knew what was going on in those recruiting parties. I'm sure they all knew, and they didn't want to know. They kept a kind of deniability going, so it's like, don't tell me, don't ask, don't tell. Do whatever you have to do to get those kids recruited, and I don't want to know the details.
I agree with you if he's heard things that he should have acted on.
Well, Dr. Dave went to him and told him about Katie.
Okay, that's another point that I wanted to make. He went, but what did he say? Did he say just that people were harassing her? Did he say, was it a strong statement?
Yes, it sounded like he let him know that there was a culture of harassment there. I don't know. I think he didn't say anything about the rape, or at least that's not been reported. But certainly he let him know that his daughter was being harassed. So Barnett cannot plead that he doesn't know. So, Tony, on this one, I think you and I are going to have to agree to disagree, and I do thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Do you agree with Tony? Tony thinks Barnett is unfairly being singled out. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Bank One. About 1,000 people turned out for a rally in support of traditional marriage that took place today on the State House steps. The rally is to support State Representative Kenneth Lundberg's bill to ban same-sex marriages in Colorado. The Boulder County Sheriff's Office on the lookout for a burglar who hit four homes in Superior late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning. The burglar has been taking cash, which he or she found in wallets and purses. The Adams County Sheriff's Office has released a composite sketch of a possible suspect in the January shooting along I-25 that critically injured an 8-month-old girl. The suspect is described as a black male between 5 feet 8 and 6 feet tall, and wore his hair in either dreadlocks or braids. His age estimated to be about 25 years old. This week only, find out how you can earn United Miles good on TED and United Airlines at Bank One. See your Bank One banker now, because next week is too late. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
How much do people love their leaded glass windows from Scottish Stained Glass? Let's find out. Here's homeowner Ed Turley's reaction to a broken pane before he had Scottish Stained Glass.
Now, Tommy, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, no baseball in the front yard. I'm sorry, young man, but this is coming out of your allowance.
And this is Mr. Turley's reaction to the same errant baseball after the installation of his Scottish Stained Glass.
The execution will take place at dawn.
Well, there you have it, folks. Seems people love their Scottish Stained Glass more than, well, certainly more than regular windows. And just so you know, they're not only great looking, they're actually very, very durable, because we cover each and every one with an outer layer of protective glass.
So, no blindfold?
Sorry, Ed.
Dang.
Hi, this is Martin Faith, owner of Scottish Stained Glass. If you're looking to make a unique statement in your home, call us at 303-766-3811 for a free in-home consultation. 303-766-3811.
KNRC News Time is 12:41. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of HP Business Printers, and really just looking a lot better around the metro area. Still got problems on Colfax over I-25 due to the traffic lights being out there. Watch for that. We had a bit of a problem due to an accident on the ramp from northbound I-25 to Bellevue. Seems to be out of the way, so good news there. And we just have that road layout shift out southbound 225 at the spillway, as well as the tunnel under I-25 from southbound 225. Watch for some slowing in that area on 225. Buy an affordable HP Color Laser Jet 1500L now and get your business to experience the benefits of printing in HP Color. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan beginning at 6 right after Doug Kellett on AM 1150 KNRC.
Our storm left behind several inches of snow, especially through Jefferson and Boulder counties, but a very quiet weather pattern unfolds for us now. With sunshine through the afternoon that will help some of that snow melt away, we'll top out around 43 for the high. With mainly clear skies tonight, lows in the low 20s, and not a bad weekend at all. Partly to mostly cloudy Saturday and Sunday, highs in the mid to upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1242. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, it's time to celebrate a tradition brought to the banks of the Mississippi in 1699. It's Fat Tuesday, also known as Mardi Gras. You don't have to travel far to have a jubilant time. Broussard's Creole Cafe kicks off Fat Tuesday at lunchtime with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people. Drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads. Join the hoopla at Broussard's Creole Cafe on the 24th, where Gumbo the Gator will be there to entertain the kid and let loose with the rhythm and blues of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful. Also featuring special guest, the famous Otis Tinsley, a New Orleans-style piano player. Mardi Gras wouldn't be complete without the $3 hurricane served all day. The tradition of King Cakes lives with drawings for King Cakes and restaurant certificates. Frolic among the traditions of Mardi Gras, going on all day at Broussard's Creole Cafe. Just across from the Capitol on Colfax. Broussard's is owned by a family from Louisiana that knows how to provide authentic Creole food and jovial jazz. And don't forget to inquire about their banquet facility. Call 303-861-0931.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stocks are trying for a comeback as we make our way through the final 2 hours of trading on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now losing 24 points. It had been down much more than that over the last hour. The NASDAQ is slipping 4, and the S&P 500 is trying to break even. It is now up a fraction. Losers still hold a 2-to-1 edge over winners, though, at both the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. Heavy volume at both sites. 1 billion shares have traded so far at the NYSE, 1.3 billion over at the NASDAQ. The head of Boeing says job cuts are on the way. CEO Harry Stonecipher says as many as 150 workers could face layoffs as the Pentagon puts Boeing's contract to build tankers for the Air Force on hold. Boeing is up some 18 cents, and Hewlett-Packard is sliding almost a dollar, despite reporting some nice news about income. John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How did the Avalanche or the Nuggets do last night? Find out with Tony DeSiri.
Tony DeSiri.
Morning Sports Reports, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1244 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. The Chicago Sun-Times is also writing about shocking tales out of Colorado. Well, all right, let me give you some of the shocking tales. At Colorado, running back O.C. Oliver was arrested for failing to appear in court on a traffic violation. Defensive tackle Stephen Cole Hayes was arrested for investigation of shoplifting and subsequently found to have an outstanding warrant for failure to appear on a traffic violation. Running back Marcus Relaford was arrested, though later acquitted, for the alleged rape of an 18-year-old woman after entering her dorm room through a window. And two other players were arrested for participating in a brawl outside a Boulder tavern. Another Colorado player was arrested during the same week, picked up on suspicion of torturing, killing, and skinning a pet rabbit that seemed insignificant when one considered that in the last 3 years, over two dozen other buffs had been arrested for crimes ranging from trespassing to serial rapes. Yesterday? Try 15 years ago. There it was. So see you. Ooh, skinned his rabbit. Oh, that's not nice. Bob, on a cell, how you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid. Hey, one of the things that occurs to me in this whole scandal is, why is it always the football team? I mean, this has been, I've lived in Colorado for 30 years.
Well, I don't know. Are they recruiting thugs? That's actually a good question. Why is it the football team?
Well,
It's never the tennis team. It's never the tennis team. It's never the track team.
That's right. I mean, and this is nationally a problem. You know, I mean, this is not just in Colorado. It's always football. And I think it's
the baseball players sometimes get picked up on drug charges. The basketball players, I don't know, what happens to them? Drugs.
Well, I haven't heard much about anything happening criminal, at least, on the basketball team for an awful long time. It's always football. And I think it's long past time the universities in this country stopped behaving as though they were a free farm system for the NFL. The NFL needs a farm system. The NFL can pay for it, not the taxpayers.
Okay, Bob, I thank you. Good point. 303-382-1150, according to Denver Post. Betsy Hoffman could save his says that Gary Barnett could save his job if he proves that his program is not hostile to women. Oh, he could be, Barnett could be on the sidelines this fall, Hoffman said, but we want to leave open the possibility that Coach Barnett will still be our head coach. I don't think so. I don't think in a million years that is actually going to happen. 303-382-1150. I want to go to politics. I want to talk about an editorial or a piece in the op-ed page of the New York Times. It's about Howard Dean, and it's called Howard's End. Remember that movie? But with Vanessa. It was a good movie. That was a Merchant Ivory film. I like that film a lot, as a matter of fact. With, what's her name? Bonham Carter. Helena Bonham Carter. Or Bonham, was that Bonham something? I can't remember her name, but you know who I mean. She married Kenneth Branagh, or she had a baby with Kenneth, or she was going out with Kenneth Branagh. Anyway, it's a good movie called Howard's End. And here it is as a way of describing what happened to Howard Dean. And I've been asking this question, what happened to Howard Dean? Why did he flame out this fast? Well, here's what people who live in Vermont have always known about Howard Dean, which I never knew about Howard Dean. Here's what John Margolis, who is a former national political reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and he's written a book about Howard Dean. He said, in Vermont, Dr. Dean was never a very good politician. He's not a very good campaigner, but he was quite a good governor. Now, I like that sentence, that he was not a very good campaigner, that he was not a very good politician, but that he was quite a good governor. There are people who can run a campaign, but the question is, can they run the country? And it's a distinction that we fail to make. Because we vote for guys for the most ridiculous reason. We like them, you know, we think they have a nice way about them, and so on. But we don't ask the question, you can run the campaign, you can be a great campaigner, but does that mean that you can run the country? And I think what Kerry's got going for him, besides a lot of years of experience in the military training, although he's as stiff as a tree, is that he sort of looks presidential. He has that look of being presidential about him. But compare him with how he's going to look up against a debate with George W. Dickey Bush and see what happens there. Compare him in your mind's eye to what happens when he's in debate with John Edwards, who's very whose good looks and whose optimism might undercut the gravitas that we want to have from a presidential candidate. So maybe we're looking at him as a vice presidential candidate. Just some thoughts. But here's some polling information. The presidential primary season has been good for Democrats and tough on President Bush. This is according to a national poll that was released yesterday. The survey by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, oh, well, the Bushies are going to say pew to this, is that the public's impression of the Democratic field has been improving as the candidates have battled for their party's nomination, with 45% now viewing the field positively compared with 31% a month earlier. So this is a 14-point jump. Bush's overall favorability rating, meanwhile, still is positive at 53%, but that compares with 72% last April, shortly after the fall of Baghdad, and is the low point of his presidency. Likewise, Bush's job approval rating has dropped to only 48%, the first time in his presidency that it has fallen below 50%, and this is according to the poll. So you've got a plus or minus of 3 or 4%. I am a little surprised by how negative people are toward Bush personally, said the director of the poll. He said that the negative views of Bush might be linked to the higher number of people who are paying attention to the failed hunt for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Three-fourths of Americans say that they are following the issue very or fairly closely. When the pollsters asked people for a one-word description of Bush, well, look no farther than Dickey, equal shares gave positive and negative responses, a stark shift from last May when positive answers outnumbered negative ones 2-1. Listen to this. The most frequently used negative word describing President Bush was liar, which never came up last May. The most frequently used positive description this time was honest. So apparently a lot of people think he's honest and a lot of people think he's a liar. And I don't exactly know how those two can coexist in the same sentence. The shifting perceptions of Bush and the Democrats have been accompanied by changing expectations for the outcome of the general election this fall. 51% now think Bush will win compared with 61% a month earlier. Among Democrats, 25% now think Bush will win compared with 38% last January. I think he's going to I don't think he's going to win. I think he's going to take a hit this time. Unless things change, you know, and he brings in Osama bin Laden, who may have been on ice this whole time. We don't know. Is he a little bit purple? Can you smell that formaldehyde if you get near him? Republicans did not enjoy a similar boost in 1996, the last time there was a contested primary to determine who would take on an incumbent president, Bill Clinton, and so on. So, Kerry's support in the polls here is being viewed as less an endorsement of his candidacy than a reflection of opposition to Bush. Fully twice as many Kerry supporters characterize their choice as a vote against Bush rather than a vote for Kerry. Asked for a one-word description of Kerry, 78% of voters were able to offer a response. 38% gave a positive answer, such as honest, good, qualified, and 19% gave a negative response, such as phony, arrogant, or liar. So you had a lot of people categorizing President Bush as a liar. Positive answers outweighed negative ones 2-1. And now it's a dead heat for Bush. Positive and negatives, dead heat. So he is really on that tipping point, and I hope he goes in the direction of get him out for the next election. We want anybody but Bush. 303-382-1150. What do you think about suddenly Bush is at the lowest point in his approval ratings? Never before has he fallen below 50%. And let's see, in May, positive answers about him outweighed negative ones 2-1. Now it's 50-50, positive, negative to positive. What do you think, and what do you think will happen if you were looking in the tea leaves? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC. She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
This is Rocky Moselle of the International Star Registry. For over 20 years, One Gift has become the most unforgettable gift ever received, naming a star after someone. For $48 and a call to 800-282-3333, the Star Registry will send a full-color parchment certificate, sky charts to locate the star, and a fascinating booklet on astronomy. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry now at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that is remembered forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Cole Creek Community Theater presents the award-winning comic drama Steel Magnolias. Evening performances will be February 27th and 28th and March 5th and 6th at 7:30 p.m. with matinees February 29th and March 7th at 2 p.m. All performances will be held at the Louisville Center for the Arts at 801 Grant Street in Louisville. For tickets to Steel Magnolias, call the Cold Creek Community Theater box office at 303-665-7211 or go to www.ccctheater.org.
Let Northwest World Vacations take you to Maui. Get nonstop air and two nights hotel for $528 per person. Call your travel professional or visit nwaworryfreevacations.com. Restrictions apply.
It's an epidemic of massive proportions.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
People sitting through mind-numbing classic rock songs that they've heard for the 4 millionth time in order to get crucial information that they need.
I'm a honky-tonk woman.
There is help out there in the radio wasteland. AM 1150 KNRC. With the most entertaining talk in Denver. News at the top and 35 past each hour and traffic reports throughout the day. It's not too late. Help is on your radio.
I'm a free bird. Yeah.
Hear both sides. AM 1150, KNRC.
We have word now of a major four-car collision on the westbound side of the Interbelt.
A toxic road spill that has literally shut this road down.
Breaking news.
With wind in excess of 80 miles per hour. Now, residents have been advised to take precautions.
Beforehand, the team with this kind of record even thought about going to a championship game.
The jury has reached their verdict, and as you know, this has been a very long trial.
When there's breaking news, you'll hear it on AM 1150. AM 1150. KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow. Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:57 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. It's gorgeous outside, a good prelude for the weekend. Go and see Art Garfunkel at the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, Boettcher Concert Hall, Saturday night at 7:30. I went last night. It was not sold out, and I want to tell you, it was magical. It was miraculous. Do it. You will have a sensational evening. I want to go back and do it again, and I'm not usually, once is, you know, I'm have the attention span sometimes of a bumblebee, so If I liked it well enough to go back a second time, and everybody was just enchanted. So you'll have a great evening. You'll be supporting the symphony. You'll have a wonderful evening of Art Garfunkel, too. We've been talking a lot of things that I want to get to today. We've been talking about politics, and we've been talking about polling. And you remember when it was a really close race between Senator Wayne Allard and his challenger, Tom Strickland, and Zogby, the pollster, predicted that Strickland would win, narrowly win over Allard. That did not happen. Zogby was wrong. Well, it's now another huge issue because here was Edwards' surge against Kerry within just a few points of him in Wisconsin, and the pollsters failed to pick it up. Among them, I believe, Zogby. So they are being faulted now for failure to predict all these surges and failure to get it right. Maybe we can't put as much stock in these polls as we once thought we could. Just a thought. You may want to comment on that. 303-382-1150. And the Polk Journalism Awards were announced, and they are one of the most prestigious journalism awards given out. And guess who won? One of the winners, Annie Garrels. Ann Garrels from National Public Radio. We had her live in studio. This is for her radio reporting in the war in Iraq. She was there, not embedded early in the fighting. She endured bombings, blackouts, short supplies of water, and intimidation by the Iraqi secret police to report from the besieged capital. Amazing work. And she's, you know, like four feet tall. She's tiny. And she says she's going back again. So a lot of courage on her part. She had a book out, and we were privileged to have her in studio. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage.
Welcome to the Stand Up for Marriage rally.
That's Colorado State Representative Carl Lundberg kicking off a rally on the State House steps entitled Stand Up for Marriage. The bulk of the approximately 1,000 people in attendance support his proposal to ban same-sex marriages in Colorado. Among those to step up to the microphone was someone higher up the political food chain, Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave. She's proposing a U.S. constitutional amendment banning gay marriages and told the crowd that those on her side go beyond President Bush and Colorado Governor Bill Owens.
Most of all, I'm happy that the people of the United States support the federal marriage amendment, and they want to keep the definition of marriage as a union between one man and one woman. Thank you very much.
Many of those at the rally held up placards expressing sentiments on both sides of the issues. An opponent's side read, 51% hetero divorce rate. What are you protecting? While a supporter's banner carried the message, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. The Boulder County Sheriff's Office is tracking a busy burglar. Lieutenant Phil West says somebody broke into four homes in Superior late Wednesday night or early yesterday morning. He says in two instances, entry was made through unlocked garage doors, through an unsecured screen door in the third, and through an unlocked sliding glass door in the fourth. The burglar prefers cold cash, which he or she lifted from wallets and purses to jewelry and other valuables. CU President Betsy Hoffman told CBS's Early Show today that she's hired a private investigator to look into the sexual assault scandal at the university.
As we want to understand whether this is a pervasive aspect of our athletic department and our football program, or whether these are some isolated incidents, most of which are still allegations. Nothing has been proved. Nothing has ever been prosecuted.
Hoffman says she believes that this scandal is part of a larger problem involving alcohol abuse on college campuses across the country. Kathy Redman from the National Coalition Against Violent Athletes told CBS that Hoffman should be removed.
She basically relegated herself to being a six-figure fundraiser at that school and put her students in harm's way. And there should be a complete overhaul of that university because of the inaction by their leaders. There is no leadership there.
Meanwhile, Gary Barnett, who was put on administrative leave with pay earlier this week, made an appearance on CNN's Larry King show last night. He explained that he understood how his comments regarding former place kicker Katie Nida could get major criticism. Earlier this week, Nida claimed in a Sports Illustrated article that she had been raped by a fellow CU player. The U.S. Supreme Court will decide a case involving the war on terrorism and enemy combatants. The High Court will hear arguments on whether President Bush has the power to hold an American arrested in the U.S. as an enemy combatant. Jose Padilla has been held since May 2002 as a suspect in an alleged al-Qaeda plot to detonate a dirty bomb in the U.S. The case involves constitutional questions about whether the president can hold a prisoner without charging him or giving him access to an attorney. The U.S. will continue to pursue a solution to the growing crisis in Haiti. That's the word from White House spokesman Scott McClellan.
When we continue to call for an end to the violence, continue to be actively engaged in ongoing diplomatic efforts to bring about a peaceful political solution.
As for the possibility of refugees trying to get to the U.S., McClellan said, quote, we have a plan in place to stop any boats. McClellan said the U.S. is making moves to get more humanitarian aid to Haiti. The Caribbean island nation has been racked by violence between pro- and anti-government forces. No plans for the U.S. to intervene militarily, though. The State Department has strongly advised American citizens to leave Haiti. Martha Stewart's friend testified against her today, but is now unsure about the comments she made. Mariana Pasternak Black now says she isn't sure if Stewart said those things about an insider stock tip. Under cross-examination, Pasternak said that she wasn't sure if the conversation actually took place. With an hour to go in today's trading session, stocks were mixed. The Dow down 8.5 points, the NASDAQ up almost 3, the S&P 500 up nearly 2 points. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets are both on road trips today. Avs are in Dallas to play the Stars. The Avs beat the Stars when they last got together in January. Nuggets are in Orlando to play the Magic. Nuggets and Magic last played in November, with the Nuggets winning that game. With Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, you'll find a home, not frustration. To start your stress-free house hunting today, visit ColoradoHomes.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Congrats to former Bronco quarterback and one of Denver's own, John Elway, for his election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Ready? Break.
We are proud of you. Congrats from the staff at AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by HP Business Printers. And really, the problems are all on Colfax. Southbound I-25 at Colfax, we got an accident backing things up to 20th. Watch for that. Then on Colfax, right around Pennsylvania, you're going to see an accident involving a pedestrian. So we'll watch for emergency vehicles trying to get in there to help that out. Buy an affordable HP Color LaserJet 1500L now and get your business to experience the benefits of printing in HP Color. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. High pressure will be taking over for the next couple of days, so we'll have some pretty nice weather. With sunshine this afternoon, we should top out around 43, a little cooler than yesterday, but not bad at all. And then fair to partly cloudy tonight, with lows in the lower 20s. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy over the weekend, both on Saturday and Sunday, with highs both days in the mid to upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135, or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
Well, of course, entertaining. Well, we like that. 303-382-1150 in our dreams, huh? I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I'm entertaining you, amusing you, informing you. I hope I'm not boring you. Couple of things. First of all, we're going to be joined by Robert Rubin, former Treasury Secretary, later in the broadcast in the 2 o'clock hour. His new book, In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. Why you want to listen to him is he's the guy who got us on track financially, fiscally, in this country, so that we had massive surpluses when George W. Dickey Bush came on board and squandered it, pissed it away in about 2 seconds flat. So now we are, like, in line to become, taking a number to become a new banana republic. I want to talk to Robert Rubin and see what he has to say about what's going on. Bill Moyers is leaving PBS. That's too bad, because he's really does a marvelous job, but he says he wants to write a book about Lyndon Johnson, whom he served before and during Johnson's presidency, so he will be, he's on his way out of PBS. A very honest voice in broadcasting. I want to talk about gay marriage in a moment, but before I get there, I'm looking at the Denver Post. I used to be in a previous life, a previous incarnation, many incarnations ago, I was president of a very successful Chicago ad agency, and we had Fortune 500 clients. So when it comes to the issues of marketing and branding, I'm always intrigued, because when you think about what those issues are, they're really about human behavior. And I'm always, other people go into shops to shop, and I do too, of course. But I also go in and I like to look around and I like to see how people are responding to the merchandise, to the sales staff, to, I look at the ads and I see whether or not those ads are going to really bring people in the door. I'm just curious about it. And I guess it's because I grew up, my aunt was really entrepreneurial and she started a retail store that did very well. And I was recruited to work in it and I was only, 11 or 12 years old. And it was very interesting to see whether, when she set up a display, whether anybody would be interested in that particular item. If you set it up one way, it would cause sales. And if you set it up a different way, it wouldn't. And some stuff moved and some stuff wouldn't move. So I've always been interested in that. So now here it is, the front page of the Denver Post. And I see a story about how the mayor is rounding up scores of ad marketing pros to help brainstorm a brand for the city of Denver. You can call it a lot of things. I don't know what's wrong with the Mile High City, frankly, or Mile High or Rocky Mountain High, or some people would say Rocky Mountain Low, but, so they're talking about some of the ideas, and they're all hideous. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not offending anybody. I'm sure I'm offending everybody. But the mayor who convened a summit of 170 public relations pros, marketing mavens, slogan slingers, and they're trying to brainstorm a kind of branding and a kind of slogan for Denver. That would be, here's the one that really has stuck for San Francisco. They call San Francisco everyone's favorite city. And, there's a lot of truth to that. It's just beautiful. And it didn't hurt that Tony Bennett had a hit with I Left My Heart in San Francisco. But for years, the Convention and Visitors Bureau in San Francisco, in all their advertising, branded San Francisco as everyone's favorite city. And maybe they still do. So what would be the right slogan? Put your thinking caps on, because these pros have not come up with anything very good, if you ask me. So for weeks, Mayor Hickenlooper's staff and a hired ad firm tested three possible themes on target audiences. Now listen to these themes. They are so thuddish. They are so horrible. Plotting. They are just the worst. They're just like 10th rate from terrible ad agencies is what they sound like to me. But listen to this. Pioneering spirit. Pioneering spirit. That was one thing that the ad agency tested. Number two was energizing place to be. Energizing place to be. And the third one was achieve dreams. It's like that would be like a slogan for Somonex, I think. These are three of the worst, most flaccid slogans. I'm sorry that the city spent even one penny testing these. These are all bad. Now, Joe brings me in. Anything would beat Denver's original title, Queen City of the Plains. Well, that isn't as bad as these three, Joe. And what's wrong with Mile High City? Is that so bad? I mean, you could use that so here, I'm going to ask you, put your thinking caps on, because I know that I have a really creative audience. I know that because you email me the best stuff. I know that because I get the best calls. Some of you are hilarious, sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. And many of you are very smart. Most of you are very smart, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. So I want you to give me some slogans here, because any of these are better than these crappy slogans that we spent even 50 cents on would be too much. All right. Denver is an energizing place to be where people get the most out of every day. That's another slogan, which is very clunky. Nobody came up with a set of words to give Denver a new brand name. Some tried with such messages as play has no boundaries, or Denver is the first resort. Oh, that's really terrible. Nothing but blue skies. Oh, no dress code, but none of these stuck. And this was a brainstorming session. At the end of a 4-hour meeting, the summit nurtured an ongoing effort, was going to continue an ongoing effort to craft an image. The effort is similar to the branding campaigns developed for New York City, which, what did they do for New York City? The Big Apple, that was one campaign that they had, and I don't know what else they've done for New York, or Nike. The City That Never Sleeps, New York, or I Love New York, remember that campaign, which is more than 20 years old? For Nike, the goal was to sell an active lifestyle. Just do it. Just do it. Remember that one? So if you were really a first class, gee, we ought to get Charlie Fisher, who did that great MoveOn.org ad that that won the MoveOn.org contest. We ought to get him to put his thinking cap on. I don't think he's, I think he's not in Denver right at the moment. He's working out of town for a while. But maybe, all right, so here's my assignment, my homework assignment, and this can be a running theme if anybody can think of something. And I have not put my thinking cap on. So I'm afraid I'm asking you to do the job that I haven't, nothing has come to mind. But if you were going to rebrand Denver from Mile High or Queen City of the Plains or Mile High Queen, oh, which leads into our next topic about gay marriages, I want to hear how would you begin to rebrand Denver? I mean, these slogans here are horrible. They're just pathetic. They're not. There's no bite to them. There's no zets. There's no nothing. Energizing place to be. All of that may be true, but it's a very bad way of saying it. So how would we rebrand Denver? Think about this. 303-382-1150. Go, do, be. How about three active verbs like that? Go, do, be. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. But it's better than these dopey things. Whatever they paid way too much. Go do B. Just, you know, there's, think about how you would rebrand Denver. And particularly in the light of the Richard Florida interview, which is on the website now, he is a big guru to a lot of cities, including, he's a favorite of Mary Hickenlooper's. He is talking about creativity in cities. And when you attract creative workers, and you do that with things that are appealing to creative workers, to knowledge workers, to information workers, to artists, to writers. And by the way, a friend of mine who is a writer dissed me big time the other day because he said that when Richard Florida was on, I said there's not, you know, you don't hear that much about a writing community and artist community here. I mean, I know it's true, and I know there are a lot of very well-published writers and very successful writers. I mean, Rick Riley has a bestseller. His book is Who's Your Caddy, I think, and he's the SI Sports Illustrated reporter who interviewed Katie Nida. He has bestseller. We have a lot of best-selling authors here. But I'm not sure we have a real writing scene as such. And maybe people who are really successful don't hang out a lot with other writers. Maybe they're just busy writing. I don't know. 303-382-1150. We do have fabulous bookstores in the form of the Tattered Cupboard, certainly. I mean, a world-class independent bookstore. Oh, the lines are full. They will open up. People are thinking about calling with branding and slogans for Denver. So let's go to the phones. 303-382-1150. I'll put my veterans, or my president of an ad agency hat on, which I was. And let's go to town and see what some of these slogans consist of. How we would rebrand Denver. How would you do it? Marty, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello. Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Marty.
Listen, I just want to know, what would be in it for me? Should I copyright this idea that I have?
You cannot copyright ideas. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Okay, so I couldn't copyright my saying then.
But everybody will know that it came from your lips, Marty.
Okay. All right.
You're doing this in the most, and may I tell you that radio waves never die. They do not die. It's a law of physics. Yeah.
Well,
and so right now on Mars, you're going to, these ideas will be reverberating around in perpetuity.
All right. Well.
Uh-oh.
Next.
All
Very
right.
simple.
What is it?
Dynamic Denver, the Mile High City.
Ooh, that's not bad. Dynamic Denver.
Yeah, I mean, dynamic, it starts with a D.
Yeah.
And really, the area is pretty dynamic, considering, the you know, what we've seen over the last probably 25 years or so here in this town, the way it's grown and everything. So,
Dynamic Denver, the Mile High City. That's not bad. That's better than these three pathetic ones, Energizing Place to Be, Achieve Dreams, and Pioneering Spirit. They should not have paid one single penny for any one of those.
Yeah, I agree with you. They sound pretty sad for a city that, you know, is surrounded by all this beauty. And it's,
we'll go ahead and proceed to try to, well, I guess.
Uh-oh, what happened there?
Conservatives and the liberals pretty happy to consider that they live in a dynamic city. So, dynamic Denver, the Mile High City.
All right, Marty, you're on record with that one. Thank you very much.
All
I appreciate
right.
that. 303-382-1150. It's got some punch to it. You want something that's vibrant. It's memorable. It really says it. It's seductive, enticing, and all of that. That's why it's very hard to name something. You have to pack it all into one or two words. So think about it. And a writer, was it Joan Didion, who said, words cut them and they bleed? You can't, words are not simply interchangeable. Every word has a slightly different, connotation or denotation. 303-321-1150. Jessica in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Jessica. Good.
Good. Thanks so much for taking my call. I love your show. Don't always agree, but I love your show and
listening
to both sides.
Thank you.
My slogan would be Denver, a mile higher than the rest.
Jessica, that is very good.
I love it because I think it's important that Denver keeps its tradition with being known as the Mile High City. No other city in America can say that. And
well, but wait a minute. All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate for you for just a second because I think that's a terrific slogan. What about Aspen? That's 8,000 miles, 8,000 feet. Altitude is 8 or 9,000.
Aspen's its own thing. They don't need help. They've got people coming with the X Games and whatnot. They don't need help. But Denver, they need help, especially with Hickenlooper building all the conventions. Building the convention center back up and trying to get out of town business.
Okay, so let me have that one again, and I think we should notify Joe. Let's notify, call Hickenlooper's office right now and tell them to listen. Have the Lindy Eichenbaum Lent, call them, Joe, and let them know that we're doing this, and they should be listening because these are much better slogans that came out. All right, Jessica, Denver, a mile higher. What's the rest of it than the rest?
A mile higher above the rest.
A mile higher above, a mile higher is a dash above the rest.
Sure. Yeah, it could be a dash because it's, you know, and it could be taken so many different ways.
Well, you know, it's like going the extra mile. You've got that connotation in there.
Exactly. Exactly. And if we're, even though sometimes we're not, but if Denver's a above and beyond some sort of advancement.
I like that. Denver, I even like the shortened version, which is Denver, a mile higher. What about just that?
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Or Denver, and then as an alternative, Denver, above the rest. Or as a tagline, above the rest. The headline, Denver, a mile higher, and then the tagline, above the rest.
Yes, that's perfect.
Is that good? Very good. Jennifer, that's really good. We ought to offer a prize here, but we're so cheap. we'll find something. Thank you very much. This is excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 303-382-1150. Julie calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Julie.
Enid.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Enid, I've just returned from an extensive road trip through Kansas and southern Colorado. And, Enid, this slogan thing is out of control. Every little town you go through, big or small, they all have these crappy, horrible slogans. So here's my suggestion for Denver.
Right.
Denver, no slogan needed.
Oh, that's right. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks very much. I'm writing these down. All right. No, Denver. All right. Wait a minute. No slogan needed. All right. Let's head over. The lines are full. I think there's one line open. 303-382-1150. Grab it. Have you got an idea for how we can brand Denver? And I'll share the ones that we have so far if you're just tuning in. Van, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm sold. On Jessica's there.
A mile higher.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Above the rest.
Yeah, that is good.
Mine was going back to mountain biking, Denver, grip it and rip it.
Wait a minute. Grip it? Grip it and rip it?
Yeah.
All right, Van. Thanks very much. 303-382, that opens up one line, 303-382-1150. Brad in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi. My name is Brad. I think we've got to keep the mile high in the name. And my suggestion was the good life, a mile high.
All right, Brad, the good life. I'm writing it down. A mile high.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Pam calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, did you say Pam?
I did. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Hey, I just got back from Las Vegas, and I love their slogan.
What's your slogan?
What happens here stays here.
That is a very clever slogan.
Their image. But mine is kind of goofy. Denver, more than an omelet. Scramble on over here.
God. All right, Pam, I thank you for that. Wait a minute, more than an omelet, scramble on over here. I don't think so, but a nice try. Don't you like the Vegas one? Okay, who's next? Let's see. Let's head over to Jennifer, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, this is a fun topic. Thanks for doing it.
You're welcome.
My idea is Denver, the snow is just the frosting.
Oh, that's good. Denver, the snow is just the frosting.
Everybody thinks that all we have is snow in the mountains, but that's just the frosting. There's a lot more.
Good point. Very good. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Right.
I like that one. 303-382-1150. Chance calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you?
I'm good, Chance.
Denver, we live here.
Denver, we live here. Meaning, we really live?
We live here. We play here. We live here. We're alive in Denver.
So which is the line? We're alive in Denver. Denver, we live here.
We
play.
Live here.
How do you want to see the line?
Well, you tell me. You're the brains of the package here. We live here.
Well, there's an overstatement. But wait a minute. All right. Denver, we're alive here, maybe? We live here. Do you want to say we live here, we play here?
Well, you know, I was just thinking we live here because we do. We live here, and we really do live here. I mean, there's so much to do in this place. It's great.
Well, something about the alive part is intriguing to me. I like that part.
Or we are alive.
Yeah, that there's a real, that there really is a spirit of being alive here.
We know, you know, you got,
you've got the fit, you've got the, huh?
Run with it.
All right. Thank you very much, Chance. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Frank, calling from work. Hi, you're live. Does the boss know you're live with Enid?
No.
Okay.
And don't say it.
I'm not saying it.
Okay. There's some very good suggestions, so I don't know if I can match those. But I had an idea. Come to Denver and corral your dreams.
Come to Denver. All right. So playing on the Western theme.
Right.
And corral your dreams. Okay. Thank you very much, Frank, and we're not telling the boss.
Thank you.
Okay, 303-382-1150. Drew calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, the woman that said she was crossing Kansas and saw all the bad slogans, my favorite one out there is a place called Sabetha, Kansas,
uh-huh.
And their slogan is, "It all started with a dead ox." Well, I think basically that the ox died there, and they're like, okay, we're home. So,
oh, no. That's a pretty depressing. There's a pretty depressing slogan.
But, yeah, I guess it works in a pinch. But how
well,
about,
what would we have for, you know, given the CU sex scandal, what could we work that into the branding of Denver, do you think?
How about our pro athletes aren't rapists? Can we do that?
No. You don't want to do that. You don't want to say what you're not.
Okay.
But
yeah,
what? But
okay,
that. About, let me tell you why I think that Las Vegas slogan is so clever. It's so smart. It isn't. It's a backdoor kind of approach. What's the line? What happens here stays here. Something
happens
like that.
Happens here stays here.
Yeah. What happens here stays here. And all of a sudden, you know exactly what they mean, and you never have to spell it out. You know exactly what it's about. You don't have to say we have the best shows. You don't have to say we have the best gambling. You don't have to say we have the best drinks. And in certain counties, there's a lot of legal sex. You don't have to say any of it. It's what happens here,
Denver,
stays here.
We got them big dancers.
All right.
Okay.
I thank you for the call. We better take a break. There's one line open, 303-382-1150. More of your calls as we continue. The subject is Mayor Hickenlooper is trying to brand Denver. And he's retained retained an ad agency to test three possible themes. They're so horrible. Listen to this. One theme was pioneering spirit, like you really want to move here for that. The second theme was energizing place to be, like just saying it in that flat-footed way even has energy about it at all. And third is achieve dreams. These are really, to call them lame,
is even more of a compliment than they deserve. So they were testing these themes and they were brainstorming. They really didn't come up with anything because I don't know what kind of ideas. Your ideas are far better than anything they came up with. So I think they ought to throw this open to the public. In any event, we've called them to listen. I don't know if they are, but we will take more of your calls as we continue. Lines are full. They will open up. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Robert Rubin, Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. You're listening to AM 1150 KNR. RC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place on October 24th, 2003.
OnStar Center, this is Leticia. How may I help you?
Hi, Leticia. I locked my keys in my car.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am. I'll be happy to help you. Do you have your OnStar account number?
719.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
Hey, is your vehicle currently running?
No.
We'll call you in approximately 10 minutes.
Great, thank you.
OnStar is available on 51 GM models, including the Hummer H2. To learn more, visit your Hummer dealer or Hummer.com.
This is Kristen.
This is Chris calling from OnStar. I'm just calling back to verify that the vehicle is unlocked.
Okay, let me check. Just a minute.
Take your time.
Yes, it is unlocked.
Okay.
Can you tell me how many calls like this you get a day?
A lot.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. I'm not the only one getting my lesson in human error today. Yeah. Thank you so much. You're a lifesaver.
No problem. That's what we're here for.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
I have a family. Then there's my job. 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours a week. My dog likes walks. Friends like to get together. I'm forgetting something. Oh, right, sleep. Gotta find time to do that at least once a week.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." The wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado know that your life is full. That's why we offer advisors who can help high net worth individuals manage their assets and have time left over to enjoy their lives.
It's such a relief to have a wealth management expert who can help me plan for the future.
For everything from asset management to investment services and more, the wealth management advisors at FNBC take the time to get to know you and understand your financial goals.
Now I get to spend more time with my family and friends. I get to walk an extra lap with the dog. And every now and then, I even get some sleep.
To secure your future, turn to the wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado. Call 303-308-3860.
For 12 years, the Radio Disney All About Kids Expo has provided exciting and fun entertainment for the whole family. Mark your calendar now for Saturday, February 21st and Sunday, February 22nd to be at the Colorado Convention Center for this great kids event. Showcasing games such as the Diver Derby, miniature golf, and other great kids activities, the Expo features nonstop interactive fun for kids ages 1 to 14. Admission for kids 14 and under is free with a paid adult. For more information on the All About Kids Expo, go to www.all-about-kids.org. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC. You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:32 on the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. The phones are full. The lines are full. We've alerted the mayor's office that they ought to be listening because some of these slogans, we're talking about branding the city of Denver, which is what the mayor wants to do, and some of these slogans you've come up with are very good. Let me review some of them. Dynamic Denver, the Mile High City, is a good one. Denver, a mile higher above the rest. How about that? A mile higher. That is very good. The snow, Denver, the snow is just the frosting. Pam called in Denver, more than an omelet, scramble on over here. And Brad said, the good life, a mile high, grip it and rip it, Van said. The lines are full, they'll open up, let's go right to the phones. Patty on a cell, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Patty.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
This is such a nice respite from worrying about CU and you know, me worrying about whether or not we're going to get a Democrat in the White House. This is really fun.
Oh, thank you.
So anyway, I kind of came up with, you know, there are some great ideas, and I thought, well, we need to combine a few of these. And I like that mile higher, and I like Dynamic Denver. But I'm thinking, how do we make it short and sweet? So I'm thinking Dynamic Denver, a mile above the west.
Oh, okay, Dynamic.
Because kind of an Elmer Fudd, you know, a mile above the west. But yeah, but what I'm thinking is just, you know, when you say a mile above the west, you also think above the rest. Because it rhymes.
Okay. A mile above the west. Okay. Very good, Patty. I like that. Thanks very much.
And thank you for your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for listening. 303-382-1150. That opens up one line. Lena on Capitol Hill. Hi, you're live with Enid. Have I pronounced your name correctly?
Oh, yes. I'm Lena.
Lena, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, you know, I called a few times, but I never knew on the first time that I was supposed to tell you.
Tell me what?
That I was a first-time caller.
Okay, here it comes.
Denver, more than a mile high.
Ooh, Denver, more than a mile high.
And okay. You see why I had to ask for that before. It was the kiss. Keep it simple, stupid, but never mind.
All right, Lena, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay,
Denver, more than a mile high. You know, we ought to have people voting on these things. I don't know if we can. Can we do votes? No, we have to find out about. Can we do polls? How do we do them? We'll talk on the website. All right, we'll figure that one out. I'm sort of a technological illiterate. Marty, calling from Lone Tree. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Love your show.
Thank you very much, Marty.
Got a few suggestions.
Okay.
I like Denver high enough for you.
Okay.
I also like Denver. We've got jumper cables. Some of these are more practical for the common person. Living under the boulder.
Okay.
Home of the Hickenlooper.
All right.
That in itself, I think, like, this way to the Hickenlooper is sort of the way that P.T. Barnum brought people in. Denver, bring a spare pair of shoes.
Okay.
Sports, law, and a two-drink minimum.
All right. Anything else?
Fresh seafood.
Fresh seafood. I don't think so. Not much.
Hey, love the show. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Marty. This one came in from Dex. Here are some of the slogans. Alabama, plaintiff's paradise. Alaska, like your mother, cold and distant. Arizona, visit our California refugee camps. Arkansas, the whole incest thing is really blown out of proportion. Let's see. Anyway, those are just some few that he sent in. Hi, calling from Broomfield. You're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi.
I have the winner for you.
Okay, what is it?
I was first stationed here in Denver in 42 at Lowry Field, so I've loved Denver for years and years. The slogan is Denver, the heart of the Rockies.
Denver, the heart of the Rockies. The heart of the Rockies.
That's your winner.
Okay.
Since I was an old merchandiser for 60 years, okay, I can pass that on to you.
Thank you very much. That's a good one. I like that. 303-382-1150. Laura calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I came up with a couple, and the first one is Denver, the peak of your life.
Denver. The peak of your life.
Playing on the little mountain thing.
And then you know what? There was a phrase, a peak experience, that was a big phrase in psychology for a while. Abraham Maslow's concept, the peak experience. So just, I don't know if we can make something of that with Denver, the peak of your life, or the peak something. Yeah, go ahead.
The summit of your life. And then the other one, if we wanted to do something similar to what Las Vegas did, the buck starts here.
I don't know if it does, but thank you. We like the sentiment. Thank you, Laura. That would be for the Boulder Athletic Department, I think. Joe calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I've got two, one serious and one sort of a joke.
Okay.
The serious one, it kind of goes off from the themes already mentioned by a tweet a little bit. Denver, mile high living.
Denver, mile high living. I have to, all right, yeah.
And the joke just kind of goes along the lines of Denver, Queen City of the Plains. I'd say Denver, Dominatrix of the Plains.
All right.
All right, that's all I had.
Thank you, Joe. I think my favorite so far is Denver, A Mile Higher. I really like that one a lot, or Dynamic Denver, but Denver, A Mile Higher. What do you think? All right, Dave, very quickly. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dave.
I got one, Denver, where you can join the Mile High Club without leaving the ground.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, no. Denver. All right, let's get that down, where you could join the Mile High Club without leaving the ground. Oh, my God. I mean, you know what that means, don't you? I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We're trying to rebrand Denver because that's what Mayor Hickenlooper wants to do. What are your ideas? What are some slogans that we could use to rebrand Denver? 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Supporters and opponents of traditional marriage turned out for a rally on the State House steps today. The rally was in support of State Representative Kevin Lundberg's bill to ban same-sex marriage. Westminster police still looking for the driver of a Mazda who was involved in a three-car hit-and-run accident last night. The driver fled the scene on foot and reportedly got a series of rides from friends to get out of the area of the crash at 80th and Federal. A bad report card for embattled Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder Tracy Baker. Just 5 days before his recall election, county officials released a report that said the environment in Baker's office since 2001 was, quote, unprofessional, sexually charged, and uncomfortable for the employees exposed to it. Bring home the babysitter special every Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. Get a pound of chicken tenders, a pound of JoJo's potatoes, and four-count dinner rolls, all for $6. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Ooh, Lord, yeah. It's time to celebrate Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday at Broussard Creole Cafe, a real Louisiana experience. The Broussard family invite you to share their authentic Louisiana dishes on Fat Tuesday, February 24th, with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people through the door starting at 11 in the morning. Share, we're talking about authentic Creole, scrumptious seafood gumbo, jambalaya, fried catfish, calamari, many dishes priced under $8, and no Mardi Gras will be complete without $3 hurricane served all day. It's going to be a real Creole party share where you can drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads and let loose with the live rhythm and blues and Zydeco of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful and featuring the famous Otis Tinsley. Come for lunch but plan to stay all day, share. Broussard Creole Cafe, located right across the street from the state capitol on Colfax, just around the corner from the Denver Civic Center bus station. Call 303-861-0931. Fat Tuesday, the 24th at Broussard Creole Cafe. Alonzo on Bonto Relay.
KNRC News Time is 1:41. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Subway, and we got everything out of the way at Colfax and right around Washington, so good news there. Seen some slow traffic westbound I-70 around Colorado, as well as southbound 225 from Parker on down to I-25. Not a reason for it, just trying to get used to all the new changes. Counting carbs, try Subway's new salads like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes and with your choice of a regular or carb-controlled dressing. Also, try Subway's new carb-controlled wraps. Eat fresh. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can listen to The Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A nice, quiet little weather spell here for the next several days. Mostly sunny today with a high right around 43. Fair to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 20s. And it'll stay dry and seasonal over the weekend. Partly to mostly cloudy skies both on Saturday and Sunday with highs in the middle to upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals? At Earhart Keefe, Steiner & Huttman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKSNH has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKSNH are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKSNH. At Earhart, Keefe, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. Call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at EKSH.com. EKSNH, Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
KNRC Market Watch.
Reprieve for United Airlines as a bankruptcy judge grants the company a 30-day extension to file its reorganization plan with the court, according to Reuters News. United actually wanted an extra 4 months, but the judge says he will consider month-to-month extensions if needed. Stock in United's parent company rallying 18%. Wall Street's still negative, though. Dow Industrials back down in the red, 36 points lower. NASDAQ is off 5. The S&P 500 losing 2 points. Hewlett-Packard remains the biggest drag on the Dow, even after the company reported a 30% jump in net income from the last quarter. HP stock off about a dollar, 3.5%. Analysts call it profit-taking. Sick of jobs being sent overseas, Alan Greenspan says go back to school. Federal Reserve Chairman speaking before the Omaha Chamber of Commerce says American workers must constantly upgrade their skills if they do not want to find their job has been outsourced overseas. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
He's looking out for you. Listen. Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
144 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. We are having a lot of fun today. We're trying to figure out how to rebrand the city. This is a project that Mayor Hickenlooper has been involved in for quite a while, because I can remember early reports about it. Well, finally they had a meeting about it, and they were testing three slogans. They're all pathetic. Our slogans are so much better than these three that they are testing. But we're asking you, and the lines are full, they'll open up, to what your slogans are, how we would brand Denver, and I got a bunch of them in the via email, so let me share some of those. Joe Anderson, our producer, contributes this one from his own hometown of Upland, California, City of Gracious Living. Oh, I don't know about that one. Here is, how about Denver the High Life? This from Sean. Denver the High Life. Okay. There was, how about Denver? This is from Jim. Denver, where America touches the sky. What do you think about that one? Denver the High Life. Denver, a wow town, not a cow town. That's good. I didn't see that one. All right, wait a minute. Let's see. The right wing Denver. This is from John. Let's see. Audrey said Denver, a wow town, not a cow town. From John. Denver, the right wing place to be. Oh. Let's see. What else have we got here that has come in? There's a good one here that I found. The Liberal Oasis, progressively stationed between the mountains and brown shirt country. This is from Christopher. These are tongue-in-cheek state slogans, rejected state slogans from Dex. What died? That's New Jersey, New York. Hey, what are you looking at? Wisconsin, eat cheese or die. Denver. This is from Wally. Denver, the center or capital of the New West. That's what he's saying. I get an email from Heather. Heather says, Enid, sorry to be anal, but I have to point out a grammatical error on one of the very creative slogans your listeners are calling in. I like the idea of a mile higher, but it can't be followed by above because it's a comparative. It has to be a mile higher than the rest or a mile above the rest. Okay, now she feels better having gotten that off her chest. Oh, and here's one from Vicky. Vicky says, I'm a Colorado Denver native and have watched with much sadness as it's been infiltrated with raging conservatives. So let's make them squirm and use Denver, mile high, and then she spells it this way, D, capital D-I-V-E-R, Diver, and then capital C, Diver City, Denver, colon, mile high, Diver City. Utah. Joe gives me this one from Utah. Our Jesus is better than your Jesus. All right, let's go to the phones because the lines are loaded. Louise calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. My name is Louise, and I enjoy your show and your good liberal views.
Thank you.
And how about something like Denver? What happens here goes national.
All right, Denver. What happens here goes national. Give me some example.
All of Denver's problems, anything that happens in Denver hits the national news.
Okay. I just thought there was, okay, I thought maybe there were some inventions and some...
No. Just a joke on what's going on in Denver, in Colorado.
Oh, all right. Well, no, I think a lot of things that do start in Denver have gone national, so I was taking you literally. Okay.
Okay.
Louise, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. 303-382-1150. Travis, calling from Castle Rock. Are you live with Enid?
Hi, Enid. I've got one real slogan and a kind of fun one to describe the state. The first one is Denver, your year-round playground.
All right, wait a minute. Your year-round? That's playground. Not bad. Your year-round playground. Okay.
And this next one's more for Colorado in general and kind of combines the adventurous spirit with the ideology of some of our residents. And it is, we put the fun in Christian fundamentalists.
I want to go back to your first slogan, year-round playground. The immediate association would be, of course, to skiing and the outdoor sports, any kind of sporting activity.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be very funny to really intriguing to put that headline with playground, meaning, something more cerebral pursuits.
Sure,
I was thinking about some kind of a high-tech image, but or an image of high-tech workers in some way, but I don't exactly know how we would bring that on.
And hopefully the mayor's office. I mean, I think there's plenty of stuff to do in the city. You don't have to head up to the mountains to have fun all year round, so they'll focus on other
stuff.
Yeah,
but it would be not a non-skiing photo. It would be something unexpected when you say the year-round playground.
Oh, okay.
That would make that headline work. Okay, I thank you very much
for
the call, Travis. Let me see. I've got so many calls to choose from here. John, calling from North Glen. How are you live with Enid?
Hi. I've got a slight improvement on one of your earlier favorites.
Okay.
Denver, a smile higher. And then you could play with the capitalization in smile to put the M as larger, if you would rather.
Yeah, I really like that one, a smile higher.
Or you could say the smile high city. You know, if you took smile instead of mile in a lot of these, then you have a whole new category of images there.
Right.
And puts a really positive spin on an older slogan.
Yes, it does. The Smile High City. I like that a lot. Thank you very much. That's good. 303-382-1150. I told you our listeners are so much smarter than these pros and some of these people that the city's been consulting. Bruce, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bruce.
Oh, hi. Your voice changed. I didn't realize you were on.
Well, I was going through puberty there for a second. Good, good. All right, tell me what your slogan is.
Okay, well, I was thinking about something, you know, that's really pertinent to Denver, not refutable. So I was thinking about the fact that we're probably the highest city in the country. And another guy was talking about how we're surrounded here in a setting of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of something like the gem at the top, or the gem at the top of America.
Gem or gym?
Gem.
G-Y-M, like a gym that you work out at?
No, gym.
Oh, the gem at the top.
You know, like a stone, like a diamond or a ruby.
Oh, you know what else you could jump off of? There's room at the top, and then the tagline, Denver, the Mile High City, or Denver, the, and then you put the S in parentheses, the Smile High City. Just a thought. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Some of my ideas are pretty dopey, too, aren't they? Jan, calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jan.
Oh, hi. I just have a real simple one, Enid. Denver above all.
Denver. Okay. Colon. Above all.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, if you want a funny one.
Yeah.
The buck stays here.
Well, it does if it's a good enough slogan. All right. Thank you.
Love your show.
Thanks a lot. I like it. Thanks a lot. 303-382-1150. Bill, calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Well, I like Smile High City better than mine. we better change it to something before they change it to Invesco City at Mile High.
Yeah, no
but,
kidding.
this is where you fly into before you go up to the mountains. How about City on the Way Up?
No.
No, okay.
All right, whatever.
I like Smile High City better.
You like Smile High?
Yeah. They had a tourism contest for Colorado several years ago. It was back in the late 80s or early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And the Wyoming Tourism Department submitted an entry, and their entry was Colorado, just south of paradise.
Oh, that's a very good line. That is superb. Thank you very much. Sure. We could piggyback off of that. Thanks a lot. Colorado, just what is it? Colorado, just south of paradise. You can play with that. Okay, I'm writing these down, so it's a little bit complicated. Gloria, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there. My slogan is Denver, the Mile High City of Choices.
Okay.
Because we have all kinds of things. The people can have any kind of restaurant, any kind of sports, and cultural activities. We've got it all.
Well, we do. And thank you very much. It's a good idea to bring up. There's got to be a really quick way to talk about the choices here, that there's a lot of... there are a lot of unexpected things about Denver. Before I moved here, I thought it was really snowy and overcast a lot of the year. And I was surprised to find out that there's so much sun, that 300 plus days of sun a year here. I don't think most people, unless they are really conversant with Denver, I don't think that most people have that perception. So that's a place to go too. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
This is your 30-second Vanguard Insight on expense ratios. When comparing mutual fund expense ratios, the smaller the number, the more money you keep. Ratios that start with whole numbers? Not good. If you see a decimal point first and then the numbers? Better. Expense ratio too high? Call 1-888-VANGUARD or visit us at Vanguard.com and invest in our way of investing.
Call for prospectus for more information and read it carefully before you invest. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities announces its 2004 summer camp programs. Session lengths will vary from 1 to 5 weeks during the months of June, July, and August. These inspiring and creative camps offer experiences for kids aged 6 through 18 in studio photography, hands-on clay, drama, orchestra, dance, and more. To register or request a complete catalog, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit the website at arvadacenter.org.
When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com.
When I grow up, I want to talk all day.
I want to work for 4 hours a day.
And earn a six-figure salary.
With stock options.
With weekends and holidays off.
I want to be syndicated.
I'll have a limo.
With a TV.
And video games.
I'm going to own my own radio station.
And have salespeople to yell at.
I need more money.
The best talk hosts weren't made in a day. Yet you'll find them right here.
With Payday.
I'm going to be big time, baby.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Mike Reagan. I'm glad to be part of the great talk show lineup and the Hear Both Sides concept. See you at 6 p.m. weeknights on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to the cool speech.
157. I'm getting terrific on the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm getting terrific branding names. The City That Shows How from my friend Bob. The weather's nice up here. the Paris of Colorado, Denver, so many options, Denver, Mountain's Edge. There's something in there about edgy. Denver Rocks, somebody called in with that. Denver, Better Than You Think. Well, I don't know about that one. That sounds kind of... Dick calling from Golden. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, this is Dick.
Hi, Dick.
Yeah, I've got a few here. One, Denver, a place for all seasons.
Okay.
Or reasons.
Uh-huh.
Denver, get high, exclamation point.
Okay. I like that one, get high.
Uh-huh. Denver, not the biggest.
Uh-huh.
And then just for Russians, da, a fun ski place.
Thank you, Dick. 303-382-1150. Mike on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes. Good day to you.
Good.
I've got one there. How about Achievers, a mile high, Denver?
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else?
No, that should do it.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Achievers, a mile high, Cornell on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I got one. Denver, the home of the homeless.
Ooh, home of the homeless. I don't think we're going to be using that at the Chamber of Commerce anytime soon, but I thank you for it. 303-382-1150. Jennifer, hi. You're live with Enid.
Hi. I just wanted to extend on the caller who said the year-round playground.
Uh-huh.
Saying it verbally makes you think of outdoors because of playground, but if you used a picture of the theater for the year-round playground to incorporate that we have culture.
Okay, so tell me quickly. We got it, just a couple seconds.
And
what's the slogan?
Then you could answer it as the clear choice, which you would think cognitively, but if you had a picture of the clear skies, that it's a double back play on words.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your call. These are some great suggestions. I'm going to compile them, and we'll do this some more. And maybe we should send them on to the mayor. What do you think? I mean, at Goldstein, don't go anywhere. In the next hour, switching gears, we will be joined by former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin in the Clinton administration to talk about what went wrong. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by HP Business Printers. A rally in support of Colorado State Representative Kevin Lundberg's bill to ban gay marriage was held on the steps of the State House today. About 1,000 people showed up for the rally, with both supporters and opponents making themselves heard. Also on hand was Colorado Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave, who is proposing a U.S. constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Peggy Hunterwaddle of Westminster explains why she came to the rally.
Well, I came here because I love America, and I really want to see America remain great. And I think our greatness has been from our biblical foundation, and I want to see us stand up for what we believe is wrong, and somebody has to stand out and say that sometimes.
Phil Weinstein of Boulder, though, referring to the Colorado Springs-based conservative Christian organization Focus on the Family, had this message for Congresswoman Musgrave.
I would tell her, Representative Musgrave, focus on your own damn family.
Lundberg says he and his supporters came to the rally with a message of hope. Police in Westminster are spending their day hunting for a suspect in a three-car hit-and-run last night. According to investigator Tim Reed, the driver of a silver Mazda, tried to run head-on into a patrol car driving in the opposite direction at 84th and Federal. The officer was able to avoid that collision, but was unsuccessful in his attempt to catch up with the fleeing Mazda. That same officer then came upon a three-car accident involving the Mazda at 80th and Federal. The people in the other cars were taken to area hospitals with minor injuries, while the elusive Mazda driver reportedly got a series of rides out of the area from friends. CU President Betsy Hoffman appeared on the CBS Early Show today and said that she has hired a private investigator to look into the allegations of sexual assault being committed by University of Colorado football players. Hoffman also told CBS that she thinks the scandal may be part of a much wider problem involving alcohol abuse and date rape.
But I think this is part of a large cultural problem that we are dealing with, not just the football programs, but across the country on all college campuses. Students believe that the way to have fun is to get drunk, so drunk that they can't necessarily remember what happened the next day.
Meanwhile, head football coach Gary Barnett, who was placed on paid administrative leave earlier this week, made an appearance on CNN's Larry King Live show last night. He explained how comments he made earlier this week about former place kicker Katie Nida could get major criticism. Barnett made comments about Nida's playing ability after word came this week that Nida says she was raped by a fellow CU player when she was playing for the university. Last night, Barnett diplomat said, quote, I think I said the wrong thing the wrong way and at the wrong time. The U.S. Supreme Court will decide if the president can hold a U.S. citizen as an enemy combatant. Jose Padilla is suspected of participating in a dirty bomb plot. He's been in a military jail since May of 2002. The Justice Department appealed to the High Court after an appeals court ordered Padilla released. A friend of Martha Stewart says she's not sure if Stewart told her about an inside stock tip. Yesterday, Mariana Pasternak said Stewart boasted to her, quote, isn't it nice to have brokers who tell you those things during a Mexican vacation? Under cross-examination today, Pasternak said she didn't know if the conversation actually took place. The government is expected to rest its case today. The FBI now saying domestic problems may be at the root of an alleged bomb threat aboard a flight from New York to Morocco. The flight from New York to Morocco was diverted to Maine after Zubair Gayas was reported to have made a bomb threat. Private investigator Ernie Rizzo was hired by Gayas' family, and he says the man was indeed kidnapped, but he doesn't know anything about the kidnappers having any ties to Al-Qaeda.
No one knows that for sure. He didn't know who these people were that kidnapped him.
Rizzo says Gayas called his wife from the plane using a cell phone he borrowed from the passenger seated next to him to tell her that he had been kidnapped and that the people who took him have the wrong person. The FBI says Gayas disappeared around Valentine's Day, leaving behind his wife, who was 6 months pregnant. Rizzo says that Gayas has no prior criminal record and is not known to have any ties to terrorist groups. Just before the close of today's session, stocks were lower across the board. The Dow is down 45 points. The NASDAQ down 6, the S&P 500 down 1.5. In sports, away games on tap for both the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche. Nuggets will be in Orlando tonight to play the Magic. The Nuggets beat the Magic in November when they last played. Meanwhile, the Avs play the Stars in Dallas tonight. In January, the Avs beat the Stars. Buy an affordable HP Color LaserJet 1500L now and get your business to experience the benefits of printing in HP Color. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
The Giant Strides will keep you informed every step of the way. AM 1150, KNRC. America's Department of Homeland Security wants to keep you informed during this war on terrorism.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
And AM 1150 KNRC is your best source in Denver when the government issues an alert. AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, and really not very much to write home about. Everything's moving along quite nicely. A little bit of slowing up, just some bunching in the immediate area. Westbound I-70 at Colorado, a little bit of slowing northbound I-25 through the tech center, as well as making the merge southbound 225 to I-25. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. I'm Darren Goben with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the morning starting at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. High pressure will be taking over for the next couple of days, so we'll have some pretty nice weather. With sunshine this afternoon, we should top out around 43, a little cooler than yesterday, but not bad at all. And then fair to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 20s. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy over the weekend, both on Saturday and Sunday, with highs both days in the mid to upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1-800-259-2207. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and joining me in this segment, former Treasury Secretary Robert E. Rubin. His new book, In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. We're honored to have you join us today, Mr. Rubin. Thank you for doing it.
Delighted to be with you.
Talk to me about why you wrote the book.
Well, I wasn't going to write a book, and then after I left Treasury, a friend of mine who had written an article about me for the New York Times Magazine section came to me, and we talked some about it, and I thought to myself that if I did this, it would be a chance to think back over the experience and perhaps learn more from it in a more reflective kind of a way. And secondly, it was an opportunity to talk about issues that I cared enormously about and to convey my views and hopefully to, in some very small way, contribute to public understanding of issues that I thought were critically important to the future of our country.
Well, the New York Times did a review of the book and talked about you as being the best-known Treasury Secretary since Andrew Mellon. Your name has been synonymous with fiscal discipline. You even spawned an eponymous, you were Rubinomics
yeah.
is a part of your lore. Here, the being synonymous with fiscal discipline. Here we are at a time when we have these enormous deficits that are very worrisome to a lot of us who haven't a fraction of your financial genius. Could you talk about that? And do you think that they're as dangerous as they appear to the rest of us?
Oh, I don't. By the way, I don't profess to have any financial genius, but I do think that the projected, and I suspect realistically projected, long-term fiscal position of the United States government is enormously worthy of concern. In fact, I think it has the potential of being very dangerous. In January of 2001...
Well, Krugman says that we're on the verge of becoming a banana republic. You got us out of... You left us with an enormous surplus.
Yeah, we did leave...
Which got squandered in about 5 minutes.
What?
Which got squandered in about 5 minutes.
In about 2 years, what happened was a projected surplus of about $5.5 trillion became a projected deficit of $5.5 trillion or more. That's an $11 trillion swing, and I think that it creates a very high probability at some point, though there's no way to predict when that point might be, of very serious adverse effects on interest rates, on economic confidence, on confidence of business and consumers, on foreign confidence, and therefore on inflows of capital, and all of that could have a very seriously disruptive effect on our economy, on jobs, and standard of living. I think it's a terribly serious problem to create, and it was totally unnecessary, because we could have created any level of stimulus we wanted for the short term with temporary measures such as temporary tax cuts without creating what is now, I think, a very serious long-term risk.
Talk to me about the tax cuts. They are being sold as helpful to the middle class, to the working class, but in fact, the reports I read talk about the tax cuts being beneficial to only the richest Americans, and it isn't just one tax cut. There have been a whole series of tax cuts.
Well, I think there are two problems. You had the tax cuts in 2001 and the tax cuts in 2003. First place, they were very heavily weighted toward the most affluent people in our society, and that portion of society is the portion that spends the least, the smallest part of the tax cuts they get. So it was a highly inefficient way of creating a short-term stimulus as well as going to people who need it at least. Secondly, only about 15 or 20% of the stimulus that's currently in the system comes from that portion of the tax cuts that fall into the current period. The great preponderance of these tax cuts occur in later years that have absolutely nothing to do with stimulus, or at least virtually nothing to do with creating economic stimulus right now. As I said a moment ago, you could have created all the stimulus you wanted with temporary measures and not had these horrendous, and I think really very seriously dangerous, long-term fiscal effects that we've now created. And that, by the way, that's not just my view. This is a very widely held view around the world with respect to the fiscal situation that we've created for ourselves.
If you had been Treasury Secretary, what would you have done?
I would have suggested to President, let's say that we had stayed in office and I was still there, which we couldn't do under the Constitution, obviously, but and I had still been there.
I think we should bring you back. Are you constitutionally precluded from being a Treasury Secretary again?
No,
I don't think so.
I'm not constitutionally prohibited from doing it. I'm just personally not very inclined to do it. But leaving aside from which, I can assure you this administration would not be very likely to invite me. But
maybe you and Paul and Neil could get together for a really good gossip session.
I happen to like Paul a great deal. Yeah, we could have an interesting gossip session. But the only trouble is, I like Paul enormously, but the only trouble is I wouldn't want to see it in print, and that's such of a problem. I would have suggested to President Clinton, and I actually did say this in a
You mean to President Bush?
Well, I would have said whoever was president, Bush would not have. Had I been Secretary of the Treasury, let's put it this way, had I been Secretary of the Treasury 3 years ago when these economic difficulties began, I would have said to the president that I thought we ought to do, and I actually said this in an op-ed in the New York Times, I would have thought what we should do is to put in place some strong stimulative measures in the form of temporary tax cuts to lower and middle income people who spend the great preponderance of what they get. And I actually think we probably also should have had temporary aid to cities and states for infrastructure projects that were ready to go but weren't going because of a shortage of local finance, because that's very job creative. And I think the result is we would have had a great deal of stimulus in the short term when we needed it without these long-term effects. And I think probably we would have been more jobs effective as well. And in addition, we would have avoided what I think actually has now begun, which is a relatively serious concern about the effect these long-term deficits might have. And I think that feeds back into making business more hesitant to hire.
My guest is Robert Rubin, former Treasury Secretary. His new book, In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. Can you talk about the Medicare reform? It seems wholly dishonest to me.
I think it is deeply troubling. My personal view, and the reasonable people can disagree about that, I think we should have in this country a prescription drug benefit, but I don't think we should have a prescription drug benefit that has no mechanism to pay for it. This prescription drug benefit was originally said to cost $400 billion over 10 years, and it was going to be financed solely with deficits, totally with the deficit, instead of having put in place, therefore, in effect, what was happening, you were borrowing from the future to pay for the present, which cannot work on a sustained basis. And secondly, the $400 billion, which is the number that the administration had put on this as the price tag, is what they thought it would cost over 10 years, turned out to be an enormous understatement. The administration in their subsequent budget said that what they had originally said was going to cost $420 billion.
530.
$530 billion. Yeah, $530 billion.
Right.
So we have a $530 billion program, which actually, and it is not 530, it's over $600 billion counting the so-called debt service, which is a real cost. So it's over $600 billion over 10 years. It's said, it is thought to be likely to cost $1.5 trillion or more in the second 10 years, and we have absolutely no provisions to pay for it, which means all of that is going to increase our long-term deficit. And that is, I think, not only highly unsound fiscally, but I think additionally dangerous on top of what had already been done.
Very dangerous. And also, the HMOs get theirs even before Medicare recipient get any kind of benefit.
Well, that's another issue, the structure of the prescription.
And the government cannot bargain using its vast purchasing power. It can't negotiate for better rates on these drugs. I mean, the whole thing is horrible.
That was a curiously anti-market kind of a provision, because you would think is that the government should be allowed to use its purchasing power, just as in any other set of commercial transactions.
Well, not if the whole goal is only to create a veneer that you're actually providing a prescription drug benefit, but actually what the benefit you're providing is to other companies in other ways, to the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, they were the beneficiaries of this. I think there's a very serious question, actually, as to why this was done. But secondly, it seems to me that, and then hopefully some future Congress will change this so that if we're going to have a prescription drug benefit, the government can use its, just as you would in any commercial transaction, I said a moment ago, would use its market leverage to get better prices.
Robert Rubin is my guest, former Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration, new book, In an Uncertain World. You went from a career, you spent 26 years at Goldman Sachs, you were a co-senior partner there, and then you go into public service. What were the surprises for you in public service? I mean, aside from what we can only imagine, which is having gone from private private world into public service and having to deal with a kind of bureaucracy that is perhaps a lot different, maybe even slower, more inefficient than you would find in the financial world. But what were some of the surprises that occurred for you?
That's a good question. I think probably the two biggest surprises. First of all, a lot that I knew from the private sector was applicable in the public sector, but it was also true that the public sector is in many ways very different. If you don't recognize those differences, I think it's very difficult to be effective in the public sector. In that context, I would say two of the biggest surprises. Number one, I knew the media was important when you're in the public sector, but I hadn't realized how integral it was to everything that you do, because pretty much everything you do, even if you do it by executive action, if it's going to be successful, it's going to have to have public support and political support. And people know almost everything they know about what you're doing through the media. So it is immensely important on a day-by-day basis to effectively communicate through the media what you're doing. Number two, I was very pleasantly surprised, I mean really very pleasantly surprised by the caliber of a lot of the people I work with. Government has a lot of very good people, both in the appointive level and the career civil servant level. And what was really one of the saddest moments when I was in government was in 1995 when some elected leaders went on national television and had a real campaign to denigrate public service. It was a terrible, terrible thing. Unfortunately, that passed. But it was, I think, really very highly counterproductive.
Well, you have people running for office denigrating government even as they're trying to get government jobs, which is...
Well, I think it's fair to have a debate. In fact, I think it's very, very good and healthy to have a debate over the role of government. What I think is not productive, and in fact, as I said, counterproductive, is to denigrate public service and to denigrate government.
Well, if you're looking for a wedge issue and all you're trying to do is boost your own job prospects, all you're involved in is careerism, you'll jump at the cheap shot. And I think that's extremely divisive, what you have just described, and we see a lot of it.
Unfortunately, you're correct. And unfortunately, it is very easy to take cheap shots at government. And in fact, I think an awful lot of people in government are really very deeply committed to what they're doing, and there are a lot of very capable people who are working, and they certainly don't, in many cases, don't get paid as much as they could make in the private sector. And they work out of a sense of commitment, and I think they really need and deserve our support.
When you spent, almost about 10 years in government?
Six and a half. Two in the White House, four and a half at Treasury.
Okay. What were the satisfactions of public service?
Well, I had always wanted, as far back as I can remember, I describe all this in the book, as far back as I can remember when I was a little kid, I'd wanted to be in government and to understand how our country worked, seen from inside the White House, if possible. I never thought I'd get the opportunity, but eventually this turned out that I did. It's one of the funny things that happens in life. I would say that the biggest satisfactions, one, is I cared a great deal about a whole host of issues, and it was an opportunity to get engaged with those issues in a way that we really could try to have some effect on what happened. Issues like inner cities and fiscal discipline and one that's very controversial now, trade liberalization, all of these international economic issues. So that certainly was one satisfaction. Another was a simple intellectual satisfaction of it. These jobs are enormously demanding intellectually, but you learn. You're in a constant high level of learning.
How are they demanding intellectually? In what sense? You have to anticipate a lot of things that are potentially unintended.
Well, you have a lot of unintended consequences to worry about, but that's just part of it. And so that's a good comment you made. But that's just a piece of a much larger larger point, which is that these are very, very complicated issues. There's a whole chapter in the book describing the Mexican support program and what we did in response to the Mexican financial crisis. Well, I tried to describe it as seen from sort of inside the White House, inside Treasury. As you can see from reading it, these are very intellectually very, very complicated questions. What do you do when Mexico has a financial crisis? And as you just said a moment ago, and you're absolutely right, if you take some action, what are the possible unintended consequences? And how can you try to minimize the probability of untoward unintended consequences? And then on top of that, you have to figure out what the politics of all of this is, because even if you can figure out the right policy decisions, if you can't make the politics work, ultimately your policy decisions aren't going to be implemented.
Well, you had the great fortune of working in a smart White House that would have appreciated a smart person like you to be in the position that you were in. What was it like to work for Bill Clinton?
I had enormous respect for President Clinton, had and have, I might add. He's an interesting person, and I think very often misunderstood publicly. He is extraordinarily bright, as you say, but it goes beyond being bright. He had immense intellectual curiosity. And when you went to President Clinton with an issue, and I saw obviously an enormous amount of him, when you went to him with an issue, he wanted to know all the points of view, and he wanted to know what the arguments were against what he thought, and he wanted to make sure that he saw, if possible, at least to the extent possible, all the opposing points of view so that he could make a fully informed decision. At the same time, I mean, I do know people like that who have that curiosity but then can never reach conclusions. He wasn't that way. He was also perfectly prepared to make decisions. So I think, look, he had his, obviously had his issues, and, you know, none of us are perfect, and he's not perfect. But I thought that he was about as good a decision maker as anybody I ever worked with, and he was willing to make a lot of very tough decisions that were unpopular, and some of those, like NAFTA, are unpopular to this day. Fiscal discipline was very tough politically, the Mexican support program. a great deal else that he did.
Robert Rubin, the author of In an Uncertain World, you've made a long journey from Miami to Washington. Looking over your journey, what do you think brought you to where you are today? I mean, was it your curiosity? Was it the combination of your curiosity and your intellect? Why did you decide to channel it into a financial avenue and then use that as the springboard to a platform of public service?
Well, let me answer two different ways. I was always very interested in politics, as I said a moment ago, and I was always very interested in financial matters, and I was lucky, and I've been very lucky in my life, and I've been able to do both and do both in places and ways with other people that were, I think, you know, quite were at a good level and were satisfying, and things worked out well. So I it's hard to know why the things work out the way they do. I think I have a certain level of intellectual curiosity, probably a pretty high level of intellectual curiosity, and I think I have a fair level of intensity. People say that I have a low-key style. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I do have an intensity about what I do, and I kind of think if you look at most people who've done stuff, if they've done a lot, they tend to be fairly intense, whatever they're at, which styles may be. I also was very lucky, and I honestly do believe that if you look back over, if anybody who has been fortunate enough to have things work out well looks back over their life, and if they're going to be honest with themselves, they would have to acknowledge that good luck was a very important factor as well, and certainly was true in my case.
You're also gifted at being able to sell what it is that you think is the right thing to do. And a lot of people might come to the right conclusion but are unable to sell it. And
well,
you were able to do that.
That's an interesting comment. I don't know. I've never thought
maybe you couldn't sell everything, but you sold yourself and you sold your ideas.
Well, could I put that slightly differently?
Sure.
I have never thought of myself as a salesperson. But in some sense, you're right. I mean, when you're out there, you're trying to persuade people, and whether it be Congress people or whatever, people in the media, whatever, that what you're doing makes sense. But I never thought of it in terms of selling. I always thought of it in terms of trying to figure out what I thought made sense and then just try to convey that as best I could. And that's kind of what I did. I never thought of it as selling something.
Well, or making the most persuasive case for it.
But I think that as an administration, we had reasonably good success. And although, you know, it was mixed after all. The deficit reduction program in 93, we won by 2 votes in the House, and it was a tie in the Senate. So, it seemed to me that it was just overpoweringly the right thing to do. I would say we probably didn't do as good a job persuading people as we should have, given the merits of the position. NAFTA was very difficult. As I say,
is NAFTA going to wind up being a really good thing for this country?
I believe yes. And I think it will remain controversial for as long as people can remember it, because it symbolizes these immensely complicated and highly contentious issues around trade, which, as you know, are coming back in a very high-profile way now with the election coming up.
Well, you presided at Treasury at a time when when the times took a different turn toward tech, toward globalization, when you look back and you notice that this was the fork in the road, that this was when things changed and we went off into another octave entirely. If you were looking into your crystal ball, what's going to happen in the next election?
In the election?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the foggiest notion. The one view I do have is I think that we are going to be enormously affected in this country in the years and decades to come by the decisions we make on a whole host of issues, the fiscal issues that we were talking about before, this whole question of whether we should be unilateralist or multilateralist. There's no question in my mind unilateralism is immensely against our interest. Questions about how do we deal with this geopolitical issues, questions around trade. So I think this is a tremendously important election, and I think that very serious and real issues are at stake.
How long will it take us to extricate ourselves from Iraq, do you think?
Well, I don't profess any expertise in Iraq. The thing I don't understand about Iraq is that I don't know whether we should have gone in or shouldn't have gone in.
We should not have gone in. I'll speak for you. Move your lips, I'll do the talking. We should not be there. They were not a direct threat to us. Should they have become a direct threat, that would have been something else.
It's become clear that it's become apparent that they were not an imminent threat. But, of course, at the time it was said that it was. But independently of whether you think we should have gone in or not, and as you say, it turns out it was not an imminent threat. But I who know almost nothing about Iraq, knew enough about it to know that with the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the various subsets of the Shiites, that the potent, that once the war part of the actual military combat was over, that there were just immensely complicated issues that had to be worked out, and that there was the potential for very serious difficulty. And why it was that the people planned this, and if I knew it, knowing as little as I know, they surely must have known it multiple times, more times than I would have known it. So I don't understand how it was that we wound up not, why we wound up expecting that something that was going to be quick and easy as opposed to extremely difficult and complicated.
Well, I think that everything this administration does, there have been so many lies involved in this administration. And the decisions made have not been the decisions that have been beneficial for the country as a whole, only for a very few people. And I think all of that is troubling, so that you have ultimately a kind of Potemkin village here, a whole tissue of lies and no substance to, you know, nobody even cares. And the astonishing thing is people aren't getting outraged, although now finally there's a level of passion. I guess maybe it started getting galvanized with Howard Dean. And as the elections are coming closer and a candidate is emerging from the Democratic side, maybe some action will happen. But I think it's astonishing that some of our most important institutions, whether it's intelligence, has become corrupted in some serious way. The leadership that we look up to, corrupted in more and more obvious ways. Look at some of our major institutions here. We're suffering a huge scandal, sexual scandal at one of our major universities at CU. Look at the priesthood, all the allegations of sexual impropriety, many of them substantiated. So in our major institutions, more and more hollowness revealed, more and more deception revealed. It's a very dicey time in American life.
I think it is a dicey time in a lot of ways, and I'm not sure, I personally have no wisdom as to what we should do about it, but just to go to one of the things you mentioned, there clearly were a lot of malfunctions with respect to the intelligence service and how these decisions were made is something it seems to me we really do need to understand as a country, because whatever it is that happened can't be allowed to happen again, and to prevent it from happening again, you have to understand how it happened in the first place. So, you know, you now have two commissions studying this. Unfortunately, I'm not going to report back until after the election. But,
of course.
Which, you know, I think is unfortunate. But
and a White House that's stonewalling them. And then there was a phrase used in the Holocaust, never again. But it always happens again. It just happens in a slightly different form. And we always scratch our heads saying, you know, that shouldn't have happened. And we said never again, but it's happening again.
Well, there's probably something in, I must say, it seems to me there's, it's a good comment, but I think there's something, there's some things about human nature that you probably aren't going to change. But I do think you can at least try to deal with these issues in a straightforward and serious-minded way. And to the extent that possible, you can try to have the conclusions and decisions driven by the substance of these issues rather than the politics of the issues.
I know you have to go. One quick question, one last question. Would you ever be a Treasury Secretary again? Would you ever accept a high office in government again? Or are you finished with that part of your life?
That's a complicated question. I don't think I'd ever go back. When I left, I was very ready to leave. Yeah, I really was. It had been a remarkable experience. It was a truly remarkable experience, the reasons I said a moment ago. But by the time I left, it was pretty worn down by it. And now my head and my mind are in a whole bunch of other things that I'm involved with. So I think it's pretty unlikely that I would go back. On the other hand,
maybe somebody would make you an offer that you couldn't refuse.
Depend a little bit on the circumstances. It's hard to know these things. It really is.
Delighted that you could join us today. Robert Rubin, former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, his new book, In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. I wish you were still the Treasury Secretary.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank
you were very thoughtful. I enjoyed being with you.
I enjoyed your visit. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk. Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute, all from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans, and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the Wireless Service America Trust, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rate. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility, and other restrictions apply.
My neighbor stopped by my house this afternoon and asked if I had any basil. Unbelievable. I've been trying to find a house and a mortgage, and she thinks I can drop everything to concentrate on dried leaves.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage makes buying a home less stressful, and our family of companies can also handle your mortgage with a competitive rate and quick decision. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
Your home is your castle, right? So why not make it look like one with custom-designed leaded glass windows? Leaded glass isn't just beautiful. It's affordable and amazingly practical. It can enhance the natural drama of your decor. Create a luxurious sense of privacy in special areas like the foyer and the bathroom. It can even save you money on blinds and curtains. So why take an ordinary view of life? Call Scottish Stained Glass today and ask for a free in-home consultation. The experts at Scottish Stained Glass can show you how to make a one-of-a-kind statement that complements your home and turns its natural light into a natural light show.
At Scottish Stained Glass, every window we create is an original work of art. Hi, this is Martin Faith, owner of Scottish Stained Glass. To know more about our durable, energy-wise and surprisingly affordable windows, call 303-766-3811. Prices begin as low as $150, including installation. Call today, 303-766-3811.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:34 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7 o'clock. Not 7 o'clock. Oh, God, that's old, isn't it? Till 3 o'clock. It only feels like 7 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, you miss Robert Rubin. New book, In an Uncertain World. Joe's going to put it up on the website, so you will be able to, it'll be an archived interview. You'll be able to access it that way. Former Treasury Secretary under Robert Rubin. Let's go to the phones and to Tobias on a cell. Hi, Tobias. You're live with Enid.
Oh, hi, Enid. I'd just like to say, as a Roman Catholic, Bush's economic policies are perfect because he's just pointing out and showing us that money doesn't work. Money's not the answer. He's spending and building up our military. He's spending for all these crazy programs that doesn't really benefit our economy in a direct sense that puts money in our pocket. But, what's our money based on, you know? What's our economy based on? Real estate, you know? That's our financial backing. And
No, it isn't, Tobias. It was the gold standard. It's not based on real estate. Tell me what your point is.
My point is that his policies are the Christian way. That's my point.
Bush's policies are the Christian way?
Yeah.
How so? I don't understand that.
Money's corrupted our colleges, every institution, just name it. Money's corrupted it, and money doesn't work.
And so therefore,
so he's that to the people.
So therefore, he's giving it to the richest Americans, and that's a Christian thing to do?
No.
Well, that's what he's doing. And he's plunging us into massive deficits where we're going to be paying for a long, long time.
How many rich are in America?
But Tobias, nothing you're saying makes any sense to me. So please try to be succinct because I'm not getting what you're talking about.
Okay, there's like 3% of our country is super rich. And the rest is middle class. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The rest of our... the rest of us is middle class or poor.
All right, so you're saying he's devaluing money because he's Christian and money is corrupting everything, and so therefore it shouldn't have any value? Is that the point you're
trying? No. What I'm saying is if we all realize that the middle class and the poor realize money doesn't work, then we can vote policies in based not on money but on love and compassion.
On love and compassion. All right, Tobias, I thank you for that phone call. 303-382-1150. Jeff, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid. How are you?
Good. Are we going to vote money out and we're going to base our economy on love and compassion? You could pay me with a lot of compassion and a lot of love. And I'm going to take that to the supermarket where they're going to throw me right out if that's what I try to pay with. Yes?
Hey, I just wanted to support Robin's comment that the government public worker in the federal level really does work hard for the American people. I used to work in the private sector. Now I work for the federal government.
Uh-huh.
And the federal government workers really try hard to produce a good product for the American people with their tax dollars.
I'm really glad. I'm really glad to hear that, because I think that a lot of people go into government service who are bright but not necessarily ambitious or driven in a way that people who are in the private sector are. And so they're willing to really put time and energy into a good product, and they don't have to scramble, or maybe they do. Maybe the backbiting and the cynicism and everything else in public service is as great as it is in the private arena.
No, the public sector, your federal employees, from what my experience is, these people really are intelligent. These people are intelligent. They know what they're doing, and they really work hard every hour of every day to maximize the return on the taxpayer's dollar. They really do.
Jeff, I'm really delighted to hear that. And I was glad to hear it from Robert Rubin, too, because it restores confidence.
Robert Rubin is like a high-level guy. I'm a normal worker, normal tax-paying person, and the American people are getting their money's worth.
I'm delighted to hear that, and I'm delighted, too, that you called in to let us know. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Home Depot. Both supporters and opponents of a state measure to ban same-sex marriages showed up for a rally on the State House steps today. State Representative Kevin Lundberg has proposed a bill that would ban gay marriage in Colorado. Both CU President Betsy Hoffman and head football coach Gary Barnett have appeared on national television within the past 24 hours. Hoffman was on CBS's early show this morning, while Barnett appeared on CNN's Larry King Live last night. Boulder County sheriffs are still working the clues in a series of burglaries Wednesday night and Thursday morning. Four homes in Superior were burglarized, with the thief taking cash from the victims' wallets and purses. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot At Home Services. Visit your local store today for more info. Trust the Home Depot At Home Services. License numbers available upon request. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus. We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Belcaro.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:42. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Subway, and a couple problems cropping up around the metro area. 6th Avenue just east of Sheridan, you're going to see an accident. Watch for that. Westbound I-70 at Havana, there's an accident there. And we're seeing one at Colorado and Evans, too. That could be a bit of a problem. Counting carbs, try Subway's new salads like the Mediterranean chicken salad. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb-controlled dressings. Also, try Subway's new carb-controlled wraps. Eat fresh. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. Doug Kellett, 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A nice, quiet little weather spell here for the next several days. Mostly sunny today with a high right around 43. Fair to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 20s. And it'll stay dry and seasonal over the weekend. Partly to mostly cloudy skies both on Saturday and Sunday with highs in the middle to upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny skies, 43 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter. Told in the key of blues, the new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. According to the Denver Post, these two actresses are as good as anyone doing anything on Broadway. Cookery is a bio-musical that has a life story worth retelling. Great seats are still available. Call today, 303-309-3773. Cookin' at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets are just $40 Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. Weekend matinees at 3 p.m. Sunday at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale at Tickets West Outlets King Supers by calling 866-464-2626 or call the theater at 303-309-3773.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages bounced off their lows of the day, but they still closed in the red after Japan raised its terror alert level and a report showed a sharp rise in consumer prices. The Dow Industrials fell 46 points to 10,619. The Nasdaq lost 8 points to 2038. The S&P 500 slid 3 points to 1144. Big board volume was nearly 1.5 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a roughly 5-3 margin. Hewlett-Packard was the Dow's percentage drag, shedding 3%. Analysts, though, had mixed comments after HP matched quarterly profit estimates. Walmart was the Dow's bright spot, rising $1.05 a share. Buckingham Research has upgraded the discount retailer a day after Walmart said quarterly profits rose 11%. And Walmart forecast a better-than-expected profit for this year. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
AM 1150 KNRC and Darren Copeland.
That's the kind of man you'd like to bring home, introduce to your mother and your sister.
Weekend afternoons at 3, live and local, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:45 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I've got a ton of emails. We have been talking about all kinds of stuff today. Most recently, if you missed Robert Rubin, the Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration, we will archive the interview on the website. And again, if you have trouble getting us over the air or you're at work and your boss doesn't want you listening to the radio, bring us up on the web. www.knrcradio.com, and you can, you know, there's all kinds of stuff on the website, and you can listen to us. We stream live every day. Listen, have lunch with me, even if you're at your desk. We're talking also about how to brand Denver, because that's something that Mayor Hickenlooper has been interested in, and he's retained an ad agency to test three possible themes on target audiences. The themes were pioneering spirit, energizing place to be and achieve dreams. And these are so blah. So I've been getting great emails from a lot of you, and I'm going to share that in a minute. One of the things we haven't gotten to today was gay marriage. And the reason that I think it's interesting is gay marriage is an issue, but in France, they're marrying dead people. I'm not kidding. A woman, if your intended dies, you can get a kind of special dispensation to go through with a marriage ceremony. And someone recently did in Paris or in France, went through with a marriage ceremony to someone who was already deceased. They had been engaged. It was okay with his parents. She doesn't get any particular rights of inheritance, and she doesn't get any particular benefits from the state, but she gets to be married. So if dead people can get married, I don't know why gay people can't get married. That's what I want to say. 303-382-1150. Marilyn Musgrave is really going to step on the gas with this one, because President Bush is certainly interested in using this for two reasons. As a way to energize his conservative religious base. And they've been in a little bit of disarray, and there's nothing that has galvanized them as much as the possibility of moving against gay marriage. So he's going to make this, I think, a prominent part of his reelection campaign. The other thing is, it forces Democrats to take a stand on it. What are Democrats going to do? And the question I was thinking about asking is this. Does it matter what we call it? Should we use the term marriage for a man and a woman and use the term civil union for same-sex arrangements with exactly the same provisions, and we simply do a twist in the language? Would that satisfy the equation for people? 303-382-1150. Just a thought. 303-382-1150. Also, I want to announce to you that starting this weekend, we're going to be live on the weekends. And so the schedule for Saturday is Darren Copeland from 3 to 6. And Sunday, we're going to have Billy Thorpe back on the air and Jerome Davis live at 10 a.m. Ron Asana from CNBC. And this is a business show, and that's at noon. Darren Copeland at 3 p.m. And Jean-Jacques Demesterton is coming back. Desi Cortez coming back as we expand our live local weekends. So this is what's coming up at AM 1150 KNRC. You might want to respond. But starting this Sunday, Darren Copeland, 3 to 6. He's on Saturday, 3 to 6. And then again on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And Billy Thorpe and Jerome Davis live at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Ron Asana of CNBC's new business show. He's going to be doing a business show for us starting at noon. And so that's what we've got on Sunday. So a lot happening here as we move forward at AM 1150 KNRC. So if you're just tuning in, we've covered a lot of ground. And also Mel Karmazin, who owns, who's a big cheese at Infinity Viacom. Mel Karmazin, who is runs Infinity and is a big cheese, as I said, at Viacom. He has, because the FCC has been tough on him, and saying that he would do whatever it takes for ratings, and that's in the wake of the Janet Jackson right boob incident, he is really ordering his talk radio stations. He's reading them the Riot Act, including Howard Stern, telling them that they're going to be fired if they violate the company's new zero-tolerance policy on obscenity. This is interesting because he was the one who, it was his, under his aegis, that Opie and Anthony were encouraging listeners to have sex at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and as a result, they were ripped off the air, but only after there was a huge protest. They've been milking that for a really long time. 303-382-1150, John in Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, I just had a quick thought to throw at you about the election and George Bush.
Okay.
Okay, we have a person here that was probably, in my opinion, complicit in 9/11 to some degree. He fed us a scapegoat by the name of Osama bin Laden. And I think he is a very evil person. And if you think the election means a damn thing to him, it doesn't. That's my feeling. I don't think it means a thing.
Wait. I'm not following your reasoning. You're saying the election doesn't mean a thing to who? Bush?
Bush. Sure, he wants to be reelected. But if you don't think he has some corrupt way up his sleeve to get back in, You're under.
In other words, even though the polls show him slipping badly, you're saying that they have some way up their sleeves where he will, somehow, whether it's bringing in Osama bin Laden or whatever it is 5 minutes before the election or declaring another war, Right. He's going to find a way to get himself reelected. That's what
right.
you're saying.
In other words, if my first point is, if somebody is that corrupt that they're willing to let 3,000 Americans die in a sham, then what does an election mean to this person? Obviously nothing by the first one, but by 9-1-1 alone, it tells me, I mean, they fed us this Osama tape that was more than likely a crock. The BBC interview with Osama says, we do not harm innocent people. And I tend to believe that about the Muslim faith and about, I'm not Muslim and I'm not a member of Islam or anything, but that's probably...
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is an administration with a long memory and a nasty... And a nasty case of hardball. They'll do whatever it takes. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I hope you're not right about it, but you might be. And I thank you, John, for the call. I want to just throw this into the conversation. More mayors. And I was really surprised to hear that Mayor Richard Daley from Chicago, the son of Mayor Dick Daley, says he would have no problem with Cook County issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. You know, he's a really hardcore practicing Roman Catholic. So more mayors and more cities are leaning in favor of gay nuptials. I'm rather surprised by that. Also, Ralph Nader scheduled to make an announcement on Meet the Press this Sunday, Meet the Depressed on this Sunday, as to what his presidential ambitions are and whether he's going to run again. If he runs again, I'm going to be even madder at him than I was the last time, because it's because of him that we are stuck with George W. Dickie Bush in the White House. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music filled before you. Don't miss Art Garfunkel's debut with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra at Betcher Concert Hall on February 19th and 21st. Hear old classics and Art Garfunkel's new music. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Can you spare just two mornings or afternoons a month? Register now for volunteer orientation at the Molly Brown House Museum. Informational sessions will be held March 2nd at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Each session lasts 1.5 hours and includes a museum tour and a gathering with current volunteers. Become a museum tour guide, outreach speaker, cook, or serve Victorian parlor teas. To learn more about volunteering at the Molly Brown House, call 303-832-4092 or go to www.mollybrown.org.
What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3. Rapid weight loss, incredible energy in one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3. At stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a 2-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:56 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours for fewer than 4 more minutes, and then Doug Kellett takes over. Let's go quickly to the phones. Joss, you're calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I was just calling to, you were talking about the gay marriage. My concern is just for anyone who's a liberal, it just seems like an unwise fight, in a sense.
That's, I think, what the Republicans are trying to do. They're trying to put the Democrats in a corner about the whole issue because there's so much division about it in the country that maybe it's not a great time to bring it up, or maybe it is a great time to bring it up. I don't know. What do you think?
I think from a conservative, I think it's a better fight for conservatives. I just heard a stat the other day that only 1-2% of the American population is interested in gay marriage. So I just figure
that is this sort of like the partial birth abortion deal, which only affects maybe 500 women a year, but it was it was huge as a rallying point for conservatives.
Potentially, it's a huge rallying point. I mean, if you just want to go to the polls for it, there are going to be a lot more people who are willing to fight against it than there are those who are willing to fight for it, regardless of.
What's your position, Josh? Are you for it or against it?
I'm personally against it. Just from a moral issue. In terms of some of the arguments I've heard for it are, from a civil rights standpoint. My understanding is that. From a civil rights or a benefit.
Well, let me ask you, because we don't have much time. But what about a civil union? Would that work for you?
I would, not knowing enough about it, I would have to say no right off the bat. Because again, I think that you could hire a lawyer, for instance, to.
I don't think so. People have said that, but I don't think so. I think it takes more than simply hiring a lawyer. But I thank you, Josh, for the call. 303-382-1150, Hal in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. You're gonna have the last word today. Hal? Are you there? Well, Hal would have had the last word if he were there, but apparently he's not there. Okay. We're just about at the end of it for today. Next week, we've got a bunch of people planned. Well, we will be interviewing Dr. Gene Bowles on Monday. He is a neurosurgeon, lives in Boulder, owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater now. There was a big story about him in the paper. I'm interested in him because he went over to Germany at Landstuhl. And was seeing all the casualties that came in, operated on a number of people, including, I think, Jessica Lynch as well. And I would like to hear from him exactly what he saw on the incoming casualties and how people's lives are altered. We're not hearing about any of that very much. Also on Wednesday, we're going to be looking at The Passion of Christ, the new film, Mel Gibson, very controversial. Bob Dinnerstein is going to join us. He is a film critic for the Rocky Mountain News. I'm going to Washington on Thursday and Friday. T.R. Reid will be in for me, but I'll tell you all about that as the week unfolds. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for a marvelous job. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, equally technical director, keeping us on the air. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again on Monday, noon to 3. Doug Kellett up next. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. We'll be live on the weekends, all kinds of big changes planned. So if you haven't been listening to AM 1150 KNRC, do it. You're going to be surprised. I'll see you at noon. Have a great weekend. Do something generous. I'm Enid Goldstein.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation. Four residences in Superior were burglarized between Wednesday night and Thursday morning. Boulder County Sheriff's Lieutenant Phil West says today deputies are trying to put together the pieces of a perplexing puzzle.
Deputy is out doing neighborhood canvasses, contacting the victims and attempting to determine if there's any commonalities, if they know of any if there are any shared acquaintances that might indicate that they were targeted.
West says in each instance the homes were occupied, the burglar helped himself to cash in the victim's purses or wallets, and that he entered through unsecured doors. He adds that three of the four homes had dogs, none of whom barked when the burglar dropped in. Colorado State Representative Kevin Lundberg is proposing a bill that would ban same-sex marriages in Colorado. Today, supporters of his bill turned out for a rally on the steps of the State House. Lundberg says he and his supporters came to this rally with a message of hope.
Hope! That with God's blessing, we can continue to uphold the institution of marriage.
One supporter carried a banner that read, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Not all the estimated 1,000 people on hand, though, support Lundberg's bill. One opponent carried a sign that read, 51% hetero divorce rate. What are you protecting? Suspended university.